Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million
shkeli. Aldi. Million. Rubli.
Tribe.
Scheibe Tortelle.
Ship.
Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor Blood vs. Water. I'm your host Shannon Guss, here to talk about another deep dive, some more post-season coverage with someone that everyone is so excited to hear from. I put the question thread up on Twitter and Twitter was like, this is just a treat. You know, like Twitter was excited, as they should be, because this person is an icon, a legend, just so hilarious. I'm getting ready to laugh for just 2 hours straight, probably more, with this amazing person. So please welcome the great Chrissy Zaremba. Chrissy, thank you for being here.
Oh, hi, Shan. Thank you. I'm stoked to be here. This is fun.
I'm so excited to talk to you. I feel like, had we asked you a year ago, are you going to play Survivor for 47 days and then be on a podcast deep dive to talk through your whole game, you probably ask, what are most of those things, right? And now you're here. So, like, what a transformation it's been.
I literally feel like you were probably going to be speaking Japanese if you said that to me a year ago. I wouldn't understand any of it. But, yes, now I have lots of new knowledge.
You do. You were just saying that you know what purple is, obviously, because most of your cast were purple. You weren't purple.
Wow. Yep, I learned that one quickly. A purple edit.
Yeah.
I was not a purple edit.
Do you know why it's a purple edit?
No, so that's the one I Googled it.
Okay, it's really, you can't Google this stuff. Too niche.
No, I know. So, and it doesn't say like what you guys had taught me. So, no, I had to learn that, not
all right.
Google it.
So it's purple because in season 21 of US Survivor, one of the contestants got like no screen time because she ended up quitting. So the production wanted to punish her. And she, her name was Kelly. And there was also another Kelly. They used to call her Purple Kelly because she had purple in her hair. And as such, everyone after that who gets no screen time is purple. So that you can't just don't Google it. Just ask me in the future and I'll let you know.
Okay, so what's Sue's move then? I couldn't Google that either.
Sue's big
move. Who the hell's Sue?
Who's So in the first season, there was a character named Sue, and all the you know how the advertising is a little OTT for Australian Survivor? You must have noticed. So they kept going on about Sue's big move, but she, like, never made a move. So that's,
wow.
Yeah, and that kind of just stuck in, like, the lexicon.
To her, that's awkward.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, let me know as we go through this if you have any other questions about the fandom.
All right. You're going to be my Google.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I told you what Stan meant.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. Remember that when I sent you a screenshot? I had the Stan app.
Yeah, this is the context. So, Chrissy DM'd me and I was like, everyone is stanning you. And she's like, thank you. I don't know what Stan means. And I was like, let me explain what Stan is. And you were like, so is it not Stan, like the streaming platform? And I was like, no, it is not. So
it's
a lot. We're talking a different language, but you're becoming fluent in it. I mean, you played 47 days.
I know, look at me.
You're here. You did it.
There. I don't know what extent it is, but I can definitely keep up with the conversation. Maybe not with you, maybe just with a fan.
Yeah, with normal people, maybe.
Yeah,
I have
maybe.
So many questions for you, Chrissy. We're going to go through
your
whole game.
Focus.
You know, we're going to talk through, but we will not be focused, but we will get on track, I think, every so often. I guess the first question I want to ask, obviously we spoke to you a little bit over a week ago. It was an emotional time kind of reliving the end of the game. Like, how have you been doing in the week or so since everything kind of came to a close?
So good. So I feel like that was a very vulnerable, I was tired. I had just watched it, so I was pretty cooked, you know, for that chat I had with you. However, how I was feeling and what I was feeling was legit, and now I feel like a week later I can definitely talk about it more. I know it's heaps of people have reached out, and I couldn't even keep up with the DMs because I think people were so upset for me, thinking that it was really, really bad. But don't forget, I'd had, you know, a few months out of the show, it was just a little re-trigger watching finale because we hadn't seen how the edit was going to go and what have you. So, yeah, now I feel really good. I've definitely moved on and, you know, Survivor has come to a close. I still think it's the best thing I've ever done and it was the right of my life. I have no yucky feelings about it. But jury, yes, it was shit. It'll always be shit, but I'm over it.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk it through. I was speaking about it a little bit with Mark, just in terms of like the final tribal council. I don't know how much you've watched like since you've played, but kind of raking people over the coals has become and has always been this thing that people do since the first, you know, in 2000, it was the first season. Sue Hawk quite iconically said to Kelly Wigglesworth that she would leave her to die in the desert and not give her a drink of water, and more things were said. But it kind of set this precedent, yeah, of like, let me be harsh, like really harsh. And those, you know, those clips are like put on social media or on YouTube as like the best final tribal council speeches. Because it used to be more like a speech, like they would stand up. It wasn't like they were all sitting down and kind of having a discussion. And I feel like maybe we as a fandom have become a little bit numb to maybe how cruel that is to other people. I know I have.
Yeah.
It's seen as like a precedent. And it's interesting getting your take and maybe Shay's take as someone who wasn't as familiar with it and then was on the receiving end of it to
mark.
Be like, wait, how are we doing this? Is this a thing that is like, what? And it's interesting because it's definitely made me like reconsider that tradition and that kind of theatre of final
council. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a great word, theatre. So you've got the lights, you've got the camera crew, you've got this cranky jury because they're all pissed that they're not there. You're tired, you're hungry, you know that there's family somewhere looming. Like I knew my kids and Croc, maybe. I kind of thought Croc would be there. I knew hubby wouldn't want to be on the screen, but I presumed he'd be there, or my sister. So you are baked and you have no pen or paper. Like I can't even fathom that I did that without, you know, reading something from a script, and then they're all elevated. You know, they're on these steps, these high seats, and Jonathan's kind of tucked around to the left of you, so he's not really accessible in a safe way. You know, like there's a lot to say in terms of the theatre behind it. And then they started. That was Chrissy, sit down, Mark, go. So it was just fast and furious, literally. So, and then Mark did his, so I was, had time to breathe, and then Shay did hers, and I was like, okay, so my heart rate had come down. But, Shen, even, like, if we just quickly go there, walking in, I was so delusional, you know, like just if I had just watched one on a previous season and seen that there might be some angst or there might be some cranky or there might be some jealousy or there might be some friendly faces. Like I just had no idea. So I kind of thought stupidly, I knew Josh would be pissed because he'd just gone. But I thought the others would be like, are you so stoked? Like, are you ready? You know, like that.
Yeah.
I honestly did. And I'm thinking, I've only got one more night. Then I get to go with these guys. I'm going to drink and laugh about this. But the second I sat down and like looked up and I was like, there they all are. They look good. I was like, oh, shivers, this is not, these aren't happy faces looking back at me. What's going on here? And then Mark went, and I feel like they all, like they nearly were supporting him. Like Jesse did ask some questions, and I was like, oh, that's letting Mark have a real good answer. He's going to sound good on that, you know, or they're sort of proud of him. And then Shay went, did her little bit, and you know, and she'd done hers, and then they started questions at her, and then of course I was like the last one to go and had the first questions off the bat, and it wasn't nice. It was nothing like what I thought. I kind of thought it'd be a little bit funny, a little bit serious, but these are super fans, and I'd seen the behaviour, Shan. So looking back and having time to debrief, like I'm a teacher, I teach P-12, so from babies, 6-year-olds. To 16-year-olds. So some of the behaviours that I saw resonated with me on shit that I'd seen in my classroom. Like there was petty, condescending, laughing, bullying kind of behaviours. And that's what hit me. I'm literally looking up at these guys and I'm like, are you kidding me? What is going on? So by the time I'd done my pitch and I just dug deep to get it out, and again, you saw probably what 2.5 minutes out of about probably 6 or 7. So there were so many things I wish had gone to air, but that's all right. And enough was there. There was enough for people to go, okay, Chrissy stepped up. That's all I cared about. But the questions started coming, and sort of the finger pointing and a couple of the ones that imprinted on my poor little brain at the time. I won't say who it was, but they know, you know, like it's been hard. You know, stop taking this as a joke for once. You tell me right now why you think I should give you a vote. You're literally a goat sitting where I should be sitting. Tell me why the hell I should give you a vote. And so by now I'd had a couple of kicks and I'm still looking up, hoping that Josh and Jordan's eyes would sort of surrender. And they did, admittedly. Josh was livid at the beginning, you know, but his resting bitch face dropped. He came in sassy. He wanted to give Mark and I a little bit of a taste for what we'd done, you know. But it settled. But you see an edit of him still frowning at the end, you know, like he's still my mate. It's fine. But some of the others, you know, they just wouldn't let go and they wouldn't let up. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done here. So I was like, okay, here's the deal. I'm here and you're there, mate. So thinking that you probably should have studied your little fan book a bit better, because I actually have outlasted and outplayed you. I might not have outwitted you, and I may have, you know, jumped behind the boys and had this smooth sail trip that you think I had, but no, that's not what I see. And then another couple of questions came and I held myself and I feel like I rebutted appropriately, not aggressively, and then I saw them turn. And finally, towards the end of this slaughter of questions that were coming from what I felt like kind of jealous little kids, for some of them, like they were really cranky that they were on the three seats. They were like, oh yeah, that's a good answer. You know, and even KJ said something and then she's like, actually, you know what? That's really what I wanted to hear. And Dave went on with this ramble of a story. He went on for 20 minutes. He says, shut up. I can't even listen to you anymore, Juicy. Mm-hmm. And he started with Chrissy, by Croc, you didn't apply. You haven't confessed to being a super fan that wanted to be on Survivor and kill it. You got dragged here, pulled in by a loved one like he did with Brianna, and you've just survived. So he started, and that reminded me, that's exactly what happened. Like, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I had to adapt to the environment really quickly. And again, I had to adapt to the final jury environment because it wasn't what I was ready for. I was pretty broken and I just wasn't ready for those guys who I thought were my mates, like my good friends. We'd done this for 2 months together, you know. Why the hell did they all turn? And then since coming out, lots of people said, because some of them wanted to do that because it's their last kick at it, you know. We're going to go in for the kill once more because hopefully they get a call back or what have you, and they got their last little statements out. And that's unfortunately what jury does look like, you know, now. Maybe it's changed over the years. I don't know. I'm watched, so I don't know. But I certainly wasn't ready for it. However, what you saw was pretty savage and, you know, I'm okay with it now. I think just because you got me the next day, I was so sad seeing it again and just seeing their eyes and stuff, but it's fine now. I've spoken to Josh. I've spoken to Jordan. Jordan was really cranky in that episode, so that made me a bit sad talking to you the next day as well, because I forgot how cross he was, you know, and then the boys were just a bit silly, but all good. Oh, good now. I'm fine.
Well, it's the power dynamic that you're talking about. You talk about it with like the elevated seats. And I think what it is like when you all play together, you're all competitors on an even playing field and you're friends and you're kind of in this environment together, then they go out to the jury and you have a higher power dynamic. They watch you play the game they want to play. They can't speak and they're just waiting until the tables are going to turn, and then they reverse at the final tribal council where they are the ones who can control the conversation and be, you know, really controlling.
Absolutely.
The narrative, and they can speak. And they all let the kind of thing pent up frustration and power, they take it back, but they probably take it back a little bit too much because they want their pound of flesh and they want that power back. So I think maybe you weren't prepared. You were prepared for the even playing field. That's how you knew them. Your friends, your competitors, your equals. They hadn't seen that.
Yes.
They came out of it. They see you as different when they're watching you, and then they get that power back. So it's reverse. And I think maybe you weren't ready for what is such an extreme reversal or change of the power dynamic you would have known them as, which makes them different people in relation to you. And that's, you know, they act different in that way.
Oh, absolutely. And I get it. Like, they were cross, you know, they wanted to be pitching. I didn't even know what a pitch was. Like, I had to ask the EPs, what do I talk to? I go, I literally said, Shan, you'll friggin' love this. I go, so do I start with, like, hi, my name's Chrissy? And they're like, well, they know, babe, they know your name's Chrissy. And I went, right, okay, so you literally just dive straight in, and they're like, no, you don't get to be funny for this. Like, step up, show them what you've got. Yeah.
But they obviously didn't want it. But yeah.
No, there was no funny. No.
Mm.
No.
Yeah. I mean, okay, let's start at the beginning. So as you're saying, little prep was done. What's the process of how you're even asked, like how you even get to be on the show? You know, Croc is a fan. He's a sports person. He gets asked. He asked you.
Yes.
I told him on his ex interview that he's the best casting person on the season because he had you. They should hire him to cast you.
Yay!
Yeah. So what was that like? Decision for you? Were you like, yeah, let's do it? Or were you like, crazy.
I wasn't let's do it. No, his agent contacted him. He said to me, they said to him, you got to take someone on from your family. And I knew my sister was zero because she doesn't do this sort of thing. And Croc said, look, I either my nephew or my sister-in-law. So they met both of us and the ball just started rolling. And then of course, he said to me, you're going to have to take this Zoom call to speak to the producers first. And I'm like, no, like I can't do it. So he said, okay, what about if you watch an episode, like let's watch a couple, cram a couple in and see what it's about. And so, of course, he tempts me with the God season, what David, Dave and Luke yeah. Turkey were on. Mm. I thought, yes, okay, they're hot. Oh, that'll entertain me. So I watched a bit of it and then I was like, oh, God, no, this is hectic. Like these people are savage. Look at them lying. And then he goes, okay, you know what, let's not actually watch that one. That's way too intense being the super fans that were on that season and how good they were. He said, come back to a bit normal. We've got to put you on a normal playing field like other people like you. And so he said, watch Cara because she was a bit sort of quirky like me and Hayley and George. So then I watched 5X, crammed those in. I can remember watching them maybe August-ish. And I was like, that looks okay, but I still – so sore, lying, cheating, deceiving, you know, like real heavy behaviours that I try to teach my kids not to do as such. And then it just got a little bit quicker and there were more chats and Croc's like, no, we're all right, we've got this talk, you've got this lady ringing you today, have you done this medical? And I just thought there's no way in God's name that you're going to the doctor, that you're meeting this lady, that you're packing these items if you're not on. So I got the picture real quick that we'd made it. And then, of course, I had been told by Croc that because we were together, it was obviously going to be a family one. So that got me over the line. I'm like, he's got my back. I get to sleep with him every night. He'll be there. He's going to be holding my hand. I'll work out the social side because I'd figured out you can play one of the three strategies to get through. And then I remember they just rung and said, all right, your flight's in 3 days. You're on. And
oh my
I went,
gosh.
Oh, shit. Okay, we're on here. And so prior to that, obviously, I jumped into the gym for about a month. That was dumb as well when I look back because I bulked for it and was doing strength stuff. And that's why my cardio was so bad. So there's so many things I did wrong. I bulked up and, you know, I was too heavy and slow. That got a target on my back in that first two episodes as being the old bloody Mother Hubbard that couldn't keep up. You know, and then, so yeah, and then next minute we're out. There was maybe 5 days. We arrived in Townsville and had 5 days of prep and mm-hmm. just getting our head in the game and some real quality quiet time, no phones or anything. And then flipping days, one day the bird just walked in, knocked on the door, bang, bang, bang. All right, guys, we're out. Hair and makeup, 5 a.m., get on the bus at 6. You're going to meet Jonathan. 7 o'clock, we're on the mat.
What did you know of the show Survivor? Pretty famous, 21 years that it had been going on. Like, were you aware of it as a concept? Like, what did you know about it?
No, I've got to be honest. I didn't. I didn't.
You didn't know about Survivor, the show?
No, girl, I didn't.
You had
didn't.
Never heard of Survivor? That's not possible. It's a pop cultural staple.
No, I definitely had heard of it.
Okay.
But it didn't resonate. I was a maths girl. I'm a bachelor girl. Give me all the Netflix. I'm not really a TV Monday to Friday. And I've got 3 young kids, so I'm not in front of a TV at 7:30 at night. So, no, I wholeheartedly, Georgia's season was the kicker, and my kid, my littlest, watches Survivor in the background. I might be, you know, doing something, and it was on, but she'd watch it the next day, you know, and tape it. But, no, we're not Survivor family. Croc, spoke of it enough for me to know what the hell it was about.
Right.
But now I am a fan. I will watch it. I love it now. I will watch it.
Well, I'll give you season recommendations, but it's really interesting. I was talking to Mark that he was saying that, like, so they did the 2 weeks of quarantine coming from Melbourne. And in my mind, like, everyone had done quarantine, which in hindsight is not a smart thought because you were coming from in the state that you would play in. So I was thinking, like, well, just watch some in quarantine, but you didn't even get that time. You're still having to parent and live your life and get ready and go. And as you're saying, 3 days later, you're there. And then it's not quarantine. It's isolation, but it's the pregame prep. It's interviews. I'm sure it's all of the content that you have to create. There's no time to watch a season then. So you didn't actually have the luxury of quarantine. Had you had it, maybe you would have had time to watch more, but
of course
that
I would've.
Wasn't the process. Yeah.
Of course I would have. I would have crammed like no one's business. But then, you know what, to be fair, Shan, what I saw, I got up to an episode where someone was doing something. Oh, no, he got sent out to a rock. That was
redemption
thing.
Yeah.
And I went, watching this, like, I can't do that. What if they send me there? So I said, you know what, I'm done. The fresher and the more virgin I am to this show, I think the better it's going to be for me because I'm good on the spot. And I've got a really addictive personality. So once I actually like something, you've got me, hook, line and sinker. You know, if I'm into something, it's hard to get me off that track. I just think I would have psyched myself out because had I have known how and everything. Like, it's that funny to me just thinking about it. Like Mark and Josh used to say to me, all right, we're going to do a double split here and we're going to go 2-2-1 and then we're going to hope that one there's a swinger. And I'm like, who's a swinger? Like, I never really got it. I just was always like, yes, I definitely want to vote that person. So yes, I'm on board.
Yeah.
And now I think if I hadn't learned all those things, you know, it might have been not that great for me. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't think you needed all of that. I mean, maybe like a little bit like knowing what tribal council was, but like you don't need to know like every aspect of every split.
I knew it was called tribal. I just couldn't get it out. My backstory and, you know, and when those guys were in quarantine, I might add something massive that was also happening in my world. I just built our dream home. So we moved in to our house on the 22nd of September into the house that we've been building for 12 months. So I had to move my family in there, every single thing from cutlery to school uniforms. And then it was my birthday on the 28th. So I had like 6 days and then we left on the 30th. So I was moving, building,
crazy,
doing backstories, saying goodbye to my kids and fibbing to them and having the guilt of that. So, yeah, there was no time to watch Survivor, let me assure you. But look, crikey, top three. I didn't need to study too much, did I?
Did your kids not know you were on Survivor?
No, so that was really tough because I wasn't allowed to tell anyone where I was either. Production had said, you don't tell anyone. So I said to my kids, Mummy has been chosen to go on a TV show and we don't know which one it is till we get to the airport, but there's going to be someone that emails you and tells you every day that I'm okay and they're going to touch base. And they just couldn't get out of their heads how long it was going to be. And they couldn't go to school and be like, Mum's on Survivor, because it was all secret squirrel. You know, it was really confidential. And I took it really seriously, like gospel. I didn't tell anybody except my nanny and my school and what have you, my job. So, yeah, the kids had to put it together. And then as the time went on, I guess they sort of started having more questions that had to get a bit more deeper because I've got a 13-year-old, you know, she's not stupid. So I think by about week 5, 6, I think the producers had told them, all right, Mum's on Survivor and she's still out there and she's surviving. So you're going to have to buckle up and, you know, put some good energy out there for her because she's going all right. And that was good.
What was that like in leaving your three kids? Because I'm sure that must have been so tough. And Australian Survivor is so long. I don't know if you know that currently US Survivor is 26 days. So
yeah, ours was forever.
Yeah, so long.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? It was really sad and we did this, my sister videoed, you know, the day we left because we were with Croc and the kids, as well, my sister's kids. So there were five of us. The five kids were there and it was so sad. But I just, Shan, you got to be realistic. I gave myself a week. I thought there's no way I'm going to be able to handle this environment. These people are going to be insane, you know, insane clever. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, we've got 1 to 2 weeks. That's 14 days. Me has been on camp for 5 days before. I survived that. You know, let's be brave. And then as time went on, you start getting a bit of momentum out there. You know, you try and put them a little bit to the back of your head. Cage was talking about her kids a lot. I nearly vaulted mine just because I thought if I go there, if I open those floodgates, I could be a hot mess. I could be a hot mess. Mm. I don't want to be any more of a hotter mess than I need to be. So I kept my kids at bay. I'll talk a little bit about them, you know, late nights and Alex, and they didn't go too deep.
So when you arrived and you got to actually, you know, experience it firsthand, not just watching it on screen, somehow you find yourself out there. What are your initial thoughts about what on earth you had gotten yourself into?
Oh, it was horrifying. So we get out of this bus and then we walk around this rock cliff face and you see Shannon, like, you're walking, you're stumbling, you're nervous. There's people before and after you in the line. Familiar faces, maybe a cut like Khan was familiar to me. I knew he was a big deal. I knew Sophie. So I sort of thought, what the hell is she doing here? You know, like, it was, I was a bit rocked, but I had Croc. So it didn't matter because I had Croc. He was just ahead of me. And then you walk around the corner and you just see this mass of people, faces staring at you, producers, cameras, audio, and then this slide. And I'm like, what the hell is that? This meter, 2 meter, 3 meter high slide, you know, that goes out into this open bed of water. And I'm like, is this legit what I've signed up for? What is happening? But I was just holding on to Croc. I didn't let go of his arm. I had my head on his shoulder. And when I watch it back, he was so, if I did Survivor without a family member, if I hadn't have done Blood versus Water, I reckon I would march my ass back up that rock wall and got the first cab out of there because it was just too much. Like, I was chewing my nails. I don't chew my nails. I was twitching, like rocking and swaying. I watched it and I was just like, what is happening? But he was there. He just kept squeezing my hand and he's like, just breathe. Aww. You know, they're going to tell us what to do. They're going to tell us what to do in a minute. And then, of course, that was just the hideous, most horrific part ever because Jonathan goes, split up. I was like, what are you talking about, split up? Like,
wait,
split up how?
Did Croc not warn you of that? Because both US Blood versus Water seasons, they don't start on the same time.
So you know what? He was so good to me. He told me so much of what I needed to know, but he's a smart man. If he had said, you're not going to be with me, he definitely told me they're going to probably split us. But what, first 8 minutes? Come on. No. Yeah. He definitely, I wouldn't have been able to do it because I just envisioned him setting me up for a couple of nights, getting me my spot, us choosing who the best people were, and then off he went his merry way and I'd be okay. But no, that's not what happened.
I love hearing about your relationship with Croc because I think, you know, we'd never had in-laws before this season on Blood versus Water. And I think some people were confused about that. Like, how can it be such a tight relationship? But, like, I love seeing it because my husband and my brother are, like, best friends and brothers and as close as anyone could be. So I just, like, wanted to know more about this relationship and just, like, what makes you so tight. Because just, like, hearing, like, the love and support that you felt from him and just, like, for someone to be able to calm you to that extent in such an extreme situation, like, it's really a beautiful thing to hear.
Yeah. Well, he's a professional footballer. That's fine. You know, I respected him for that. But he's also the stepfather for my two nephews. Like, of course we're going to be tight. And I think what made me just lock down on Croc was that he had such faith and confidence in me to ask me to go with him. You know, he is a super fan. He's not going to put me on a platform where he thought I could fail. So even just his belief in me and even how he thought that I'd go was enough for me to go, I'm going to take on the world here. You know, he knows I'm competitive. He knows I'm from an athletic background when I wasn't, you know, packing, when I wasn't bulking. So he knew that sooner or later that had come out. And he also knows that I am a people person. So I think he knew that I'd survive enough and for the strat side, we could work that out together. But Croc and I, you know, Croc's raising my kids. So of course we're going to be close. There's some weirdos on all those platforms and they were like, Chrissy and Croc, is the family going to find out that they're together? And what about the way Chrissy sloths all over Croc? And I'm like, man, you're just sicko. Like, you haven't got a very good family life because, and that threw me because I read a lot when I first, I read when it started and I probably read too much.
Yeah.
And I thought, why in the hell are they talking about Croc and I, who's like my shield, my brother? Is this what this is going to be like? Because I thought, Christ, I've been closer to the other boys out there than Croc, you know, like what the hell is going to come out of that? So I thought that was quite strange. And then, you know, when you see how shocking it was when he went, you know, he said to me, you got to stay. And I said, no, I don't want to play. I don't know what to do. I'm going to come with you. You know, that shows, I guess, just we're just tight, you know, he's my brother. It's just a thing. We're just a thing. We probably weren't that close. You know, that show definitely brought us together more. And my sister you know, she knows that he had my back out there. So as I had his, so I think just now looking back, it's done nothing but, you know, glue us even more so, because, you know, life's busy and, you know, you don't see them all the time. But now that there, that journey together that we had, I'm sad for Croc, because it was his bucket list. It was his dream. You know, he jumped the gun that maybe that 2 or 3 days too early. And I think he would have been a massive threat to be there. I reckon he would have gone a long way, because he had also relationships with both the sides that I didn't have. I had only a couple, but Croc was in on both. And then just for what he sort of had planned, he says it to this day, he just jumped a little bit too early. I was focused more so on just getting to that merge thing and getting the new bandana.
Chrissy, you're killing me.
Oh, wow. Buff. Sorry. I didn't want to say bandana. I wear bandanas.
Yeah.
Edit. Right, buff.
No, I can't, Chrissy. It's too iconic.
No, that's okay.
Leaving bandana in the
that's
podcast.
Okay.
No, it's amazing.
Shit, that's okay.
It's amazing. I love hearing, like, it genuinely was incredible casting from Croc. Like, they asked him to pick someone from his life, and, like, he saw in you what Australia would eventually see in you, and genuinely it should get him a role, like, on the casting team. But, yeah, I just think that relationship is beautiful, and I wouldn't, you know, take from internet haters to get them to assess what is a normal, healthy, loving family relationship. Maybe that's not the avenue for them. So.
There was only a couple, but they, you know, it's that same shit, isn't it? You read too bad and you harbour those and you hold them and you miss the 200 nice. So you, come on, it's fine. Yeah. That guy just needs a hug. His mum didn't hug him enough.
Exactly. All right. Well, as you said, you knew Khan from MasterChef. You said you're not a Survivor person. You knew Sophie from Instagram, being like a public figure.
Insta.
You probably didn't know Sam, Mark, Andy, Sandra.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah. You must have been confused about the helicopter. It wasn't Oprah.
Oh, how bad. And you know what? I can't even believe that made it, because I wasn't, it was in no way. Like I said that before the doors opened, you know what I mean? Like I got the giggles at that. Cause I even said to a couple of producers, oh shit, I hope they didn't hear that. But it was that. The damn queen's getting out of a helicopter. In my world, Oprah's the queen, you know, like she's so for Survivor, Sandra's the best. Of course she was going to get out of that bloody helicopter. I just didn't know Survivor world's queen. You know, to me, Oprah was the queen. So I also thought it might have been Dave, the god. I thought, oh no, he's going to be in on this one. But I thought it was someone big. And then when everyone lost their heads, I mean, Kate and Andy, they were, and so I sort of was like, oh, this is full on. And, you know, that worked in my favour, not knowing Andy. Like, I didn't know who, honestly, I'm so glad I didn't know who all these people were, because I would have been hell intimidated. You know, like I was so excited to see people that I didn't know. I already felt like I was shook. So another element to be more rattling was probably a good thing not to have.
Yeah. I mean, I cried when I interviewed Sandra. How do you think I would go playing against her? Like, that wouldn't go very well.
Shannon, too funny.
Okay, so you're separated from Croc. You're on with some people you've seen in the wild, but, you know, a lot of other attorneys that you didn't know, really. What was your early impression of the people you were with? What were those kind of early positive relationships? Because we've heard since how tight you were with Josh, how tight you were with Mark, and it's just not something that we saw in the edit. So who were you really kind of drawn to very early on?
Oh, it's so funny. I can remember it like it was yesterday. So we got out of our vehicles and we walked down the track to where camp was going to be. And don't forget, we'd just won something. So we were heading into, you know, the most amazing fire lit. I had a vision. I had a vision of what I was entering into. And it wasn't quite that, but it was pretty bloody good considering. And I was behind Josh. And then Alex was a little bit further up. I think KJ might have been behind me. So I'd seen that there was a mother figure there. Mark was such a massive, he just took up a lot of the path and he took up a lot of the campsite and he was a big presence. So I was attracted to subbing out, you know, Croc's big figure and replacing it with him. Because if there were bears or murderers out there, I wanted to know that that Mark was going to be my Croc. And I saw Josh's tattoos pretty early on on his arm. I thought, oh, that looks a bit Maori. He could do the job. And then little Alex let me be his mum, you know. So I got to be a bit of a mum. I got to be Josh's sister. I got to be Mark's wife, you know. Straight away I just stepped into the role of him looking after me. And we were older, like KJ was there. We were the older and then the baby sort of slept on the other side. Mel was there. She was a chiropractor, so I was definitely going to need her. So it was a good gang, you know, and I sat back. I didn't want to go in loud because I'm so loud and confident. So I didn't want to go in loud straight away because everyone was sort of chilled and we'd had a swim and washed our shoes and sort of found our area and found our feet. And then they started making the shelter. And Andy was really, he was a bit of a boss man with it. And I was like, this could go two ways. You could either be the king tonight or you could be going home. You know what I mean? Like there's only two ways. That I just knew straight away that if you stood out, see, Brianna stood out. She was a little bit intense. I thought, well, can't have two people here that are intense because one of them are going to go. So I'm going to take a little bit of a sit back. And then, so we're doing stuff all day. We're collecting wood. The fire's nice. You got a bag with nothing in it, so I didn't really need to unpack anything, put my shoes up. And then Josh had a yarn about Croc because he's from the footy world as well. And he was frothing that he'd met Croc and he followed him when he was with Storm and what have you. And then I literally remember we walked over to have a bit of a sticky beak at the campsite because you could roam around, you know. And I'm like, ta-ta. I said to him straight up, boy, don't write my name. And he's like, what? And I said, just don't write my name and I won't write yours. Let's win. He sort of turned around and went, you're all right. Okay, I'm not going to write your name. And then, like, people were going, like, day one and day two. And they were like, all right, so here's the plan. We're going to go with Chrissy. And he's literally saying to them, yeah, no, I'm not going to do Chrissy. I was doing the same. So it's so funny that by day two I had worked out who was who in the family. Khan was my absolute go-to. Everyone else just fitted into the party and into the family. And that was it. Like, how do you get to the second last day and have the people that I knew I wasn't going anywhere without still there? You know, and that there, Shan, to me, I'm so proud of that strategically. If I have no other credit from anyone, I was absolutely the glue that kept an alliance together through a split. Like, the boys then went over to Red and I still had them over there. We were still talking. That could have not happened. When they came back, we were thicker. When the partners all left, I had them as well. Josh and Mark had a bit of a, those two sort of headbutted a little bit, and my social game had found that out before those two even started going at each other. And I said, oi, 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 just let him have time. He's going to come to you. You know, like, I didn't keep the peace. I kept them together, and I'm holding it to that. You know, you guys don't see that.
Mm.
You didn't see a lot of that. We were tight.
Mark did give that credit on his deep dive, just saying how, like, especially when he was getting in the middle of them through that post-merge, like, you were really, like, the peacemaker between them and consolidating what became, like, the main alliance of most of that merge. So I said I'm really upset we didn't get that in the edit, but I'm sure we'll kind of talk through a lot of the work you were doing. And, you know, like, the social game is important. Like, to have later Khan's going to be crying about how much that he loves you, like, this doesn't happen, you know, for people to just kind of feel that way about you and want to work with you, especially in the early game and especially in the long game of Australian Survivor. Like, that is a really, really pivotal skill to have, but maybe the most pivotal skill in Australian Survivor.
Yeah, I thought it was too, and I just, you know, like, jumping all the way to the end again, I just felt like they're going to respect me. I looked after them. I was nice to them. I didn't have any blood on my hands. I wasn't experienced enough to know it wasn't enough. But for me, I thought I'd killed it. You know, like, I had such close connections in there to people that I never, ever doubted. I never doubted, ever, ever. Mm. So that is so lucky to have that. And they would have felt that trust for me that they were never, ever going to have me swing on them, you know, or take a swing. To play such a stressful game and not have just one person, you know, because your two becomes three then, you know, that was a lot. And I was the third for a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's all good. I always get caught up in it and I think, oh, who cares?
Well, how much of that social game do you feel was, like, considered work for you? Like, how much is it just you are that likable, you are that social person, it just comes naturally to you to be that person, all the relationships that you describe. How much do you feel that on top of that you were having to think about it, to go out of your way to be nice to people? Like, was there any part of that or is that just who you are 24/7?
No, that is such a good question. Because it's tiring to be nice.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to be a Grinch and not like anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, I'm going to say 70-30 because mm-hmm. I'm pretty nice. Like, mm-hmm. I try to be a nice person. I'm not always, but I try to be. So 70%, I genuinely, I wanted everyone fed. I wanted their water bottles filled. I was washing their clothes so they look good. You know, like I genuinely Mother Hubbarded the shit out of that place. In the morning, Sam and I'd get up. You know, I'm making sure their shoes aren't wet. You know, Alex had forgotten his shoes and socks a couple of times. So I was always putting them by the fire. Little things, like, here's your bag, get it ready. We're walking out. Don't forget this, you know, hanging stuff. So, yes, but that's me. 30% was, okay, shit, I'm going to have to talk more to Jean, to Neen today. I haven't given her enough time. You know, I've got Geordie running around. I've got a touch base with Geordie today. I haven't spoken to him for 2 days, you know. So there was elements of me going, mm-hmm. No, I haven't spoken to her. I wonder how Mel's feeling about that. I don't want her to feel left out or what have you. So, yeah, I'm going to say 70 was me just being an absolute bossy cow and Mother Hubbarding them all. But 30%, yeah, I was focused because I do think I had 100% social capacity. Like, I didn't leave anything out. Whether I was chatting about silly stuff and trying to take a bit of the stress away or whether I was legitimately peeing at night and seeing a little couple walking away and having chats with someone else that was awake at the time and then reporting that back to Josh or Mark or whoever I needed to tell at the time, I was hustling. You know, I knew and I had my nose and a lot of conversations because everyone trusted me. Like, they did. Mm. I wasn't malicious, you know, and I wasn't sus. I just kept everyone's needs about. And I think, you know what, people like talking. They like telling little tales, you know, so I was listening to a lot of conversations and people like that. You know, if you're not talking about Survivor and freaking out, you want to talk about home.
Mm. It was a phenomenal social game, like truly one of the best. So definitely something to be super proud of. What did you see the dynamics as? Like, did you see anyone being like in charge of the tribe or like very on the out? Obviously Andy, who by the way, like was in the David and Luke season. I don't know if you remembered him from the couple of episodes that you watched.
Didn't. Sorry.
Didn't remember him.
All right. Not hot enough, Andy.
Well, you had actually watched, well, I don't know what point in the season you watched, but assuming you watched the first half, you actually had seen parts of Andy play. But what did you see as like the main dynamics, like who was really taking charge or like really at the top or very much on the outer?
Oh, that's hard because everyone was, I don't know if they were acting, but everyone was super chill. Brianna was straight up. Mm-hmm. So I was learning everyone's names. She wanted to know who was going to vote with her.
Yes.
So she played a real come in, right, where are we at? What are we doing? What are we doing? And I remember thinking, all right, you're too much for me for this, so I'm going to probably not click with you that much. Shay was hustling. She was either doing yoga or she was cutting down trees. There was no middle ground. You know, she was exhausted, you know, from working hard, or she was in a coma. Doing mm-hmm. a little leg behind the head thing. Mm-hmm. And then so Alex was super chill, so I gravitated towards him because he made me feel chill. The big boys, yeah, they were, you know, making the shelter, but us girls were still bringing all the wood in. And I remember making some concrete because I'm like, we're going to pack this down. My old man was in construction, so I knew the elements of what, but I wasn't about to say, put it on this angle. We need to bloody have some wind protection. I didn't want to be that bossy there. And then Khan was just sort of, was this zen. I was really attracted to his energy because he was sitting by the fire and he was either making chopsticks or trying to fish, you know, or he was doing things that made me feel really calm. But you know what, it's so funny, Shan, because I clicked with KJ straight up because we were the two mums out there. But you know, I got some heat for not going girl power in that final three, you know, when we got to final five and why didn't I take the girls. But I am a boys girl. It's as simple as that. I have a couple of girls in my life. You know, I've got some really good, strong connections with my girlfriends that are in my world. But I always have been a boys girl and I just bounce and kind of banter better with boys. So I knew who my people were going to be straight up. KJ was definitely in there. But in terms of, you know, who was running the show and who were my people, it definitely was those boys. And that's why I was horrified when it all came out at the end that there was this misogynistic, massive boy power bullying sort of thing that was getting thrown around, because I was like, hold up, everyone's allowed their own opinion on this, you know, and I've spoken heavily about it in other podcasts. You know, I'm not friends with people that make anyone feel shit, you know, or not good enough or inferior of anything, you know. You have to remember it's an edit, you know, and I was ridiculously close and am ridiculously close to two of the blokes that got a pretty hard time about that. So,
You saw the final tribal council as less gendered and more just jealous.
Shan, I so did.
Yeah.
I so did. I didn't go with the gender thing. I didn't really like that word because that was not a time to bring that out, I don't think. Whether Shay believes that she's allowed to believe that, that's fine for her. But for me, I wanted to sort of see the word petty maybe or childish. That's where I saw it, you know. Just jumping back and circling back to that, those boys didn't make me feel scared. They didn't make me feel inferior. They didn't make me feel like a loser. It wasn't bullying as such. It was like they were pissed off and cranky at themselves, and I was going to take the wrath of it. You know, like they were, if I was their mums, I'd go, pull your heads in, you look like dicks. That's what I would have said. Honest to God, like, yeah, you're going to get a smack. You're grounded. Well, I nearly did. Like, it got close. I gave Jesse a little reminder, you know, because he was getting a bit too big for his boots. And I was like, hang on, mate, because he questioned me and said, you said you wanted to go home and you're missing your kids. I went, no, I'm just going to stop you there, Jess, because the conversation didn't go like that. And you're actually getting a little bit too lippy now, because I sort of gained a bit of momentum as I got sort of into my annihilation. But I will stand by it, and I'm so glad I get to chat to you because, you know, even Josh, that, you know, the poor bugger said, you know, he came in there with this staunch old head on him and his face was cranky. It was cranky. He was livid, you know, and he was tired and he was emotional and he had a little plan. But that wasn't the whole night, you know, like it surrendered as the night went on. And I feel like for me it surrendered as well. It was so bad, but I held myself enough to make them all go, oh, God, you know, we're done here. We've done our thing. Let's wrap it up, you know. So to me, that I had to get that out because it wasn't gender.
Yeah.
You know.
It's hard because there were so many elements of gender through the whole season, what they were calling like a boys' alliance, and then what even happened with, like, you know, out of the show and in the fandom and like the specifically gendered hate that Sam was getting. And by the time it got to the jury villas and the final tribal council, to see disparate reactions to people of different genders, even if there were specific
and that
reasons,
was confronting. I'll take that. That was bad. So seeing KJ and Sam, I was livid because I said, have I turned a blind eye to this? And, you know, Jordan got some serious hate. He is the most loving, kind. He has had my back this entire journey. So when I saw that, I was like, and then him and Jordy with their little snarky laughing and stuff, that really, I was like, that shit. And then even Josh's, he's bloody doing his beard, shaving his beard, going for me. It looked so bad that I was like, oh, Christ, maybe this has been a thing. You know, was I just so knee-deep in my besties out there that had protected me that I wasn't seeing it? But for Sammy, I think Sammy's was hate stuff out of the show for her has been horrific. But out there, she just kept saying she wasn't being heard. And unfortunately for her, because she was so yappy and talking so much and so intense and intelligent, she wasn't getting heard because we were too tired to listen, you know, like it was exhausting. And she was so smart that everything she said, it could have been said in the first 5 seconds, but she was always hustling and she's allowed to hustle because that's her game. So for her, when we get to the Calm thing, her and I were gutted with the Calm vote because it did feel like those boys had made their mind up. But I was on numbers, you know. If I didn't go with my numbers, was I going to be next on the chopping block? You know what I mean? I was so focused on I had to just keep going and getting through as opposed to, you know, my loyalties, I guess, to my friendship with Khan. So, yeah, in terms of the gender thing, I'm gonna be the one that does say it, that for me I wasn't scared of this big brat boy pack out there. I was just as scared of the girls, like Michelle and Mel were sitting up there with cranky eyes. You know what I mean? Like, it was Sammy, I must admit, she was heaven because I looked at her and KJ and they weren't the scary eyes up there or the cranky eyes as such. But yeah, no, not for that. I wasn't like this timid like that. I was just so upset that they were being so petty, I think.
I think with everything this season, like I must have said the word nuance like 100 times on my deep dive with Sam. I think all, you know, we passed out, I think, every action and every single thing that came up in a gender context through the season. I think some of it probably wasn't as relevant for me. Some of it was, but definitely like the sum of the parts at a point, it started to kind of feel overwhelming in that way, but it's important to pass it back and definitely hear from your experience. And again, Shay's experience, she feels a little different. So it's again, that nuance and everything can be right and wrong at the same time, especially, you know, considering the perspective.
That's true. That's perspective. There's the word. So don't forget, Shay wasn't with the boys. They weren't her friends in there. And you can say it all you want. You're close to people and you're not close to people. Shay and I weren't close. And I don't think she was that close to Mark, Josh. You know, they were a thing and they talked and stuff. But Nina was. Mm-hmm. Nina, and there's an unbloody spoken Laura as well. You know, Nina hasn't had enough talk time. That kid was amazing. She was close. So I don't think she would have even considered gender stuff. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. if you're in a good alliance, a strong alliance, it doesn't matter if the boy pack, I would have been in that. If I was over in red, I would have been mm-hmm. in that. It's how you interject and how you react with people. And mine was thick as with them.
Mm.
We did talk massively, Strat, and my opinion was so valid to them, mm. you know, so valid. Or else, why do you think of course I was tight with them because of that.
Mm. Yeah, I think as well, like having those things be missing from the edit definitely compounds every single part of it, every single component. All the pieces that kind of make up the bigger puzzle of us then having to work out.
Put it together yourself. You know,
yeah, exactly. And it's really, really difficult without parts of the edit. And then it's also really difficult when it all kind of overwhelms at a point when we have to step back and be like, okay, how much of this was gendered? How much wasn't? From which perspectives? And it's honestly too complex and layered probably for any
it's
TV
true.
Edit, let alone this TV edit. So, yeah, it's a hard one.
That's so true. Yeah. That is so true.
Yeah. So jumping back Hard. To Brianna and Shay, in these first couple of tribal councils, all around like Chrissy and Brianna, like that rivalry. Talk us through kind of where that conflict came from and where like finding the clue and like wrestling over the idol, which does not happen at tribal councils. You would think maybe it does because it was happening at your first one. Yeah, that doesn't happen. So what was your thought process and
Holy
how was this
hell.
All happening in the very early days?
All right. So basically we walk in. She's out there, I'm out there. So instantly I'm like, yeah, we're probably going to lock heads here. She befriended Shay. So her and Shay were really tight. They'd slept together the night before and were mingling during the day. Brianna had put my name out there because she had said that I was the weakest link in the challenge. In my defense, I recall exactly when she was cross at me and we had these ropes and we are trying to smash this damn ram thing through this gate. And I had two handles because we were short on people holding them. So on one side, I had two handles. So I was taking double the weight of the whack and I was gassed. I'm not going to deny it. I was 100% gassed and she couldn't fathom that I just kept needing to take a break. So that was her target. What she didn't realize was while she was running around, I had befriended everyone on day one and I knew that I had relationships with these people who then probably didn't like it so much when she was so savage in saying, we don't need a mum, she's letting us down, we're going to have to consider her as the vote. So then these other guys were like, well, hang on, no, because while you've been doing some strat stuff, Bree, we've been actually meeting Chrissy and we kind of maybe vibe her. And so when it got back to me that she had said, we don't need a mama bear. You know, that's not necessary. I was like, right, you're the number one target because everyone else was so good. So then to get that clue, she then saw it and yelled it out for everyone to hear because it was only Geordie and a couple of others that had seen me grab this bit of paper. I saw this rolled up clue. So I'd gotten away with it nearly, but she heard Geordie and then she said it out loud for everyone else at camp to hear it. So I was already a target because they knew I had something. They probably also thought she's not gonna know what to do with the bloody thing. But then I went and read it and realized that there was going to be an idol there and I needed to get my hands on it because I'd already heard that she'd been speaking my name and I struggled in the challenge. So I thought I could be going home day one. This is going to be horrific. Mm-hmm. So I was also listening to Andy and Andy had a heap of chat on Alex. He wanted to put the heat on Alex because Alex was injured. So I just wanted to get to Alex and be like, now listen here, all you've got to do is be able to get up and walk here and I can get everyone on board that you're not going home because he was such a good kid and I didn't want him to go. And I thought, well, it can either be Brianna or Andy as the two that are going to be talky and, you know, a target that I could maybe go for. And then I thought, and if I get the idol, my name gets swiped and one of these two go. So when we sit down, you see I'm looking around and bloody waiting and then Jonathan talks and then there's three questions. No, Shan, who said when everyone's bums are on the seat, get up and get it. I sat down. Last person sat down and I sprinted. So what everyone was like, God, she didn't even try and find it quicker or what have you. And then everyone was talking. And I was like, no, that edit was hilarious because her and I dived straight away. She didn't see it and I saw it the second I walked in. And then everyone lost their heads. Why would she use it? What a dumbass. Chrissy's going to be a nightmare to watch because she played the idol on the first night. Well,
yeah.
I had to play it.
Yeah.
That was in the clue. And the other thing was I would have played it, Shan, because why I did not want a public idol anywhere near me because I know from the chats that I'd had for 12 hours that they're a thing, you know, like I didn't even want people knowing I had the clue. I was happy to burn the bloody thing because I felt strong enough, you know, that I didn't need it. And because I could only use it one night, had I done enough damage to think I was going home? Well, maybe. I didn't think I did very well in that challenge. So I used it that night for a reason. Whether my name, and then everyone was like, maybe should she have played it for Alex? Well, no, because I knew Alex wasn't going home. My people had said Alex isn't going home, so I already knew that Andy was the name. So yeah, that's the Brianna, Chrissy, Shay,
yeah,
saga.
Well, what's the fallout from that? Because Brianna goes the next time. She's still trying to put the heat on you. There's like this awkward kind of attempt at reconciliation, which it wasn't great. But I feel like what was happening here, and what work do you feel you were doing to make sure it wasn't you and it was definitely Brianna? Or do you feel like you were just in such a good space that it was just you were never really in danger from that rivalry after that?
I just felt like I wasn't in danger because I had picked up that how I felt about Brianna, her intensity, but because too much to her credit, she was smart. Strategically, she knew her stuff, but she didn't play a good social game. So I knew that she was absolutely the name. My people that I'd sort of clicked with had said she was the name. Khan and I have this ridiculous eye contact and he had said to me, you are not a worry. Don't worry about it. We're on. And then, yeah, I didn't have any fears of, I think in the second challenge I did all right too. So I realized, I don't know what it was, but I remember thinking, okay, they're going to see now that it was just a cardio thing. I'm going to be able to hold myself. I'm not going to be the weakest link, you know, in the challenge beast mode kind of aspect.
At the Brianna vote, you do pick up a vote from Mark. Your first vote and last vote for a very, very long time in the game. He spoke in the deep dive about like kind of trying to shield that for a bit. He said that he like didn't tell you for a while. He was trying to just like make it go away, but you were like, no, you wouldn't let it go away. And then eventually he told you that he did it to keep Khan close, which was, he said, the reason that he did it. So what, tell me from your perspective. I love being able to do these deep dives and then I like release them later and you don't get to listen. And I'm just like, and can you have this rebuttal of something that Mike has said?
It's just so good. It makes me laugh so hard. So what happened was I get this random Chrissy vote and I was like, I couldn't let it go.
We were confused.
I couldn't let it go. Yeah. And I was like, just tell me the truth. Who was it? Was it Nina or Shay? Like I was banging on about these two. And so I hit Nina up in the water and I'm like, Neans, you're in our thing. Like it can't have been anyone else here. They are looking me down the eyes and telling me they didn't do it. Just tell me you did it. And she's like, I didn't do it. And then I'm like, that bloody yoga instructor, she stitched me up. So I wanted Shay gone because I was convinced. Anyway, a couple of days later, I'm still barking on about this bloody, who voted for me? Everyone should like me.
That's actually an iconic line from Survivor. Chrissy, you should know that. Who voted for me? That's from Sandra's first season. So there you go.
Oh, really?
Trivia, yeah. Iconic. I'll have to send you clips. I'm going to make you a playlist of all of these.
Yeah, give it up. Give me the good stuff to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I'm sitting at the log, no doubt preparing the meal for the family, and Mark comes over to me. It's just so funny. To me, it's so funny because that prick, he got me a doozy. And he goes, all right, now listen. And I go, am I getting voted for? What's happened? I go, I'm going home, aren't I? Like just instantly defensive. And he goes, now, I don't want you to get mad, but I need you to be calm and to listen to me. And I look at him and I go, did you vote for me? he goes, I have tried to let it go. He said, you are relentless. You're annoying everyone. I voted for you. And so, are you ready? I stand up. I'm crying. I say to the producer, I'm going to the toilet. I go up to the toilet. Like, I'm going home. If my number one is voting for me, I don't want to be here because I could not believe how loyal they seem to me. And I think because he let it go for so many days. Anyway, I got my head together and I'm like, if one vote, you need to pull it together, something ridiculous. So I walk back down to him and I go, I'm talking to you. Like, I'm really cross at you. And then I go, where's Josh? And so then I go to Josh and I'm like, did you know about this? And he goes, I did. And I go, you're meant to be my one and two. And he's like, I feel like you need to calm down a bit. You're getting really cross at us. This is just one vote. There's a hell of a long time to go. Pull your head in. And then so he was like, it's not my story to tell. Mark had to tell you. He just took too long to tell you, you know, like, because Marky didn't want to tell me because he knew I'd lose my head. So to this day, that's why I still say I wrote Mark's name all the way later in the show because I just owed him one.
Like 40 days later. For sure. Well,
I held a grudge
for sure. So Sophie's gonna come over when they vote her out, and she had been aligned with Croc, who's left out of that vote. My first question is, when you're hearing from Sophie how things are happening, like, how did you feel about how Croc you thought was doing on the other side?
You see, now this is tough because what Soph was telling me and what Croc was telling me were a little bit different. So Croc's saying to me, Sophie might be a bit of a snake.
Yeah,
because we had sign language. So Croc and I were interpreting to each other. My sister's an sign language interpreter. So we had a few little clues.
I love that.
Some key words. Yeah, so Croc was sort of saying, don't go too close to Sophie when she was coming over because she's gone for some of the boys over here, I think, and talked about the alphas and talked about Croc. And Sammy had also said that Sophie had gone for Croc. You know, so yes, they were in an alliance, but Croc's name had been brought up. So to this day, I don't know who to believe or whatever. I don't care. But I wasn't that fond of Sophie coming over because, again, we had a massive personality and I was the Sophie. So I was sort of not happy to have two of me because that means someone's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I never was disrespectful. I didn't bond with her that much. And I always had KJ as a priority because KJ was my girl. So Sophie coming over, I knew she was going to have to go. I didn't lie to KJ about it. And then the inevitable happened. With Sophie, I kind of saw the physical side of us needing her because we could really we smashed the other girls, and the girls were being underrated as far as I was concerned in the challenges because we were quite unstoppable, the girls. We had some big, you know, we had Nina and KJ was in there as well. I can't even think of who else, but anyway. And there was me and Soph. So we were big. You know, big frames. Amy's over there. Yeah, Shay. We had Amy over there, Sandra over there, Kate over there, whoever else was over there. We were bigger and stronger and fiercer, but it wasn't enough to keep her around.
Mm. So you went into that tribal council where Alex is going to leave, but you were intending for Sophie to go?
Yeah, definitely. And I think Sophie was ready to go, and that's why it was quite emotional for her to come back again because she'd prepared to go. And then that Alex thing was so, again, more edit stuff there for you. Alex going to vote him. The boys had said to me, Mark and Josh both said to me, oi, write his name, you know, like, don't write his name. We need him to stay. You're not to write his name.
Mm.
We're writing Sophie. And to me, I was like, oh, my God, this is head again, heart again, because Alex wanted to go home. He was in pain. And I'm mum. I want him home in a hot bath. I need Epsom salts and I need him to have some food.
Yeah.
So I wanted him to go home. That's my baby. He's not well. Yeah. I don't know how bad it was. To this day, I think he could have hustled, but he was spent and he was thinking of his house. He's got his missus and his new brand new house. He wanted to get home. So if I had to have written his name, my God, you know, the boys would have been livid at me, you know. So I was so sort of happy that Jonathan made him call it.
Mm.
And then it sort of bought me another day, didn't it? Because Soph was the next vote.
Mm. Before I get to the swap, where does Nina fit into this? Because you say you thought Nina voted for you. Were you not as close to her, or did you see her? Because I know she was.
No, I wasn't.
Right.
I know. It isn't that crazy? And now, like, she's one of my faves. So she was really, really tight with Josh. So because I was tight with Josh and Mark, I already knew that Nina was in there.
Yeah.
Her and I personally, we weren't a thing. We talked. We were really respectful of each other. I still liked her. I didn't not like anybody, but we weren't a thing. And I did think her and Shay were close. So I just left Josh to sort of project manage that relationship, you know, and I was worrying about the others. I had my stuff going on with the others.
Sure. Well, we're going to get to a swap where you'll be reunited with Croc, get what you were promised, and getting to play with Croc and getting to sleep next to Croc and have him there.
Finally!
So can you just explain the feeling of that? Because in one day, not even a day, in an afternoon, you're going to get reunited with Croc and then find an idol with him. So it's a good few hours for you in the game.
Oh, this is the best part of the game because just when they gave us the buffs and I saw that his was the same blue as mine, I lost my head. So I lost my head. I was gutted because I'd lost the because Mark had gone over and I'd lost the boys. I was absolutely gutted because I just felt like I was at home and I was getting my mojo. Like I had little wings on my shoulders and I was getting better in challenges and, you know, holding myself a bit better and we were tight and I had a real safe alliance and then boom. But Croc coming over with his alliance, there were numbers there, so I was okay. And I got Sammy, so that was amazing, you know. So I got to be with Mark's partner, who I had a ridiculous, you know, alliance with over the other side. So that was good. I think just having Croc come over settled me again. Like I lost two but got one. And then Nina had gone, so, you know, the girls over there looked really good. And we were little, like we had Benny, but we had Jesse and Khan, and I felt little. Our team looked little, so I thought we could be in a bit of trouble with challenges maybe. And then we cruised back. I think we won that reward and we cruised back for hot dogs, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hot dogs. And everyone's mingling and Croc saying he's happy to be back. And I'm just looking at him and he looks so happy and he's got Jesse and, you know, he had Benny and he had his gang. And I had my gang and I still knew that that my crew were over there. And then we sit down because I'm so exhausted from being a fat ass and eating that hot dog in about 3 seconds. And I look up and I'm like, that is absolutely a clue. There is no way that's not a clue. I've got to move. So don't forget now I've listened to lots of conversations by the campfire and I know what Survivor's kind of meant to look like by now.
I hope so.
And I thought if I sit any longer, because you're really scared, there's cameras everywhere and everyone's looking at everyone. If I get up, they're going to look at me because I've already had my hot dog. So I had to reapply toppings to it. And there was only pickles left and I don't even like pickles. But I'm packing them on there and I've got my hand underneath the table and it's wedged in and tied like no one's business and I get it and then I go sit my big fat ass down and because I had my togs and my boardies on I had no pocket, I couldn't get it into my pocket, so it's literally cutting my thigh and I'm shoving it into my shorts and I'm paper cutting myself and then I'm like, okay, we've got to move, we've got to get back, I need to read this because it could be another you've got a day to use it. I didn't know what it was going to say. And so I'm like, okay, guys, let's go and give you guys a tour of this place because we'd just all gotten together. And so we're walking back and I pretended to take a bit longer, got my bag and stuff, and then I remember just like approaching Croc from behind and I knew there was camera behind me because I wanted them to see it, you know, because I just couldn't believe that no one had seen me get it. And I just shoved it into his pocket and he lost his head because he just, you know, what are the chances of me finding another one? You know, what are the chances that I needed to sit down because I'm so lazy with my big fat burger or whatever, my big fat hot dog and just seeing that clue because no one was sitting that far across. No one would have seen it. Everyone was standing and mingling. Mm-hmm. And then he was so proud of me. And so we said to everyone, we made sort of a public announcement and said, are you guys okay if we go and have a D&M? Because that was my opportunity to go, let's go looking, you know, because you can't just go, we're going to go for a walk. Everyone's on to you. So I said, can I just have my Croc to go and have a D&M? Are you guys all right with that to sort of take the eyes off? And sure enough, not one person looked over. So off we toddled. We got some water and then we read it at the water tank. And I knew it was at one or two places because I'd read the clue and that was my campsite. I knew where it was going to be. And sure enough, yeah, we found it at the second spot.
Amazing stuff. So good. You're something of an idol whisperer in these first couple of weeks of the game. It's amazing.
Yes. Yes. And then I stopped looking because I realized how crap they were. People that had them had so much hate. I wasn't interested.
Yeah. Well, you talked about some of those new relationships like Sam, who you're going to play with for a very long time. Jesse, we see how tight you are a little bit down the line. So where were those connections coming from? Like, was it the Mark thing, especially with Sam, or like obviously you had your own, you know, important bond?
No, I think just Jesse sort of came in and he was the new Alex and he let me love him and, you know, I got to sort of just take him under my wing. He was little. I was really excited about his, you know, athletic career and being a triathlete or whatever. And then Sammy, well, of course, I was going to be tight to her because we'd, you know, worked out that Croc over there, she was tight with Croc. Over here, I'm tight with Mark. Of course, we're going to click. And then Sammy came in all guns blazing and her and Khan just hit it off like no one's business as well because they were so active and dramatic and, you know, bounced off each other. So, yeah, those were really instilled quickly. However, Ben was the funny one because Croc and Ben were tight And he'd come in and I was auntie and Croc was uncle, and he really befriended well that way, and got me in on the family word, you know, that worked well because Jordan was calling me auntie as well, but it was just different. I don't know why. I don't know if it was the Shay thing because Shay and I weren't tight. Mm-hmm. And then Ben was just a bit too much. Shay calls it passionate, and he calls it passionate. I just, after challenges and stuff, he was boisterous and big, and if your loved one's on the other side losing, you don't need to be celebrating that hard, you know. So there were just a few little things, and Croc was really loyal to him, and he was loyal to Croc. So I thought, all right, well, I've got to make this work. And then Jesse and Sam were in with Croc. But I still had my alliance, you know. I still had the people that I thought KJ, that I was working with as well, so Khan and stuff and Sammy, of course, and then the boys were over the other side. I think where the lines got blurred was that Croc had put us in the majority but at the bottom of it, whereas I had us probably third and fourth in the majority, if not us, me, third. So taking out partners, I had put myself on a platform and I really, really backed my social game, and I knew how deep I was in. And even every day when I'd see the boys, because they were on red, I still knew we were a thing and that I was safe. But Croc maybe just didn't see it or hear it enough and believe it enough. So he wanted to make a move to make sure that we were 4, 5, or 6 and 7 in that mm-hmm. alliance. I think because I sort of had us way higher. And you know what's been really tough? Because the blurred lines on this, again, I keep talking about it. Everyone says I voted against him or voted for him. That is absolutely not true. I didn't vote with him. So, yes, that is against him, but it wasn't meant to impact because we didn't know Croc was getting blindsided. So it shouldn't have impacted the way and happened the way it did. So in hindsight, it really irks me when people go, Chrissy dogged a loved one. Chrissy chose water over blood. No, I didn't. Croc said to me, you stay with your theory. I can stay with mine because I've still got the numbers. So I trusted that his numbers would be okay, but I still wanted to keep my numbers okay. So it wasn't that I went for Croc or got him voted out. That's not fair, in my opinion. It was that we just voted differently and the outcome was an absolute shit show because he went home. But it wasn't from me. Like, I didn't vote for Croc. I didn't know that Croc's name was getting written down. I wasn't aware of that play that was happening. Mm-hmm. It was Benny, 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 Benny. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Croc said in the exit that, you know, you had decided and agreed upon that you would do your own thing. I think the other numbers that he was relying on, that's what he lost. Ben, Michelle,
absolutely.
Khan. So that's where he lost the majority. Khan. But I don't think he expected. He said he didn't expect to have your vote. So.
No, he didn't need it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like he needed it. His numbers were high. I was going to stick with my alliance, put the votes on Benny, show my guys I was still loyal. If I voted for Jesse, I was in trouble with Geordie. Geordie was over there with Josh and Mark. What if I get bumped out? Like, I was thinking I had shit going on that was working, and Croc had stuff going on that was working. So in both of our defense, oh, man, just and to the last minute, Sammy and Jesse didn't look at me in the bus and I let it go. Then sitting at Tribal, they kind of looked at me, but it wasn't a normal look, and I still didn't buy into it. And then when his name got read out the second time, I knew instantaneously, I'm like, oh, shit, he's going home. We're done. We've cooked it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you buggers. And then see, and, you know, if we just keep talking about it, I'll keep going into this, the Croc thing. I was so gutted, but I had two ways that I could look at it. I could be livid, hold a grudge, be filthy, go for Jesse, go back, bitch about them, make sure that my guys over the other side knew what had happened. I already knew they were filthy when we got back there, because when we hit the mat and Croc wasn't there, Jordan was livid and was so worried about me, you know, and that was enough for me to not hold a grudge. Sammy and Jesse pulled me straight away, and then they were like, you know, this had to happen. Ben had thrown your name up, so there was talk of me as well, and that scared me. So I thought, you know, I need to hug this out and make sure these guys keep me around, because, you know, we weren't back together with the OGs. So, oh, God, still makes my stomach feel a bit queasy.
Yeah, so when you voted then for Ben, Croc thinks that Jesse is going home. Did you think that Jesse would go home, but you just wouldn't be on the vote, or did you think that you had enough numbers for a Ben vote?
How crazy. I thought Ben was going home. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a complicated
vote. Knew, I think I was confused when I actually say it out loud.
No, there was a lot going on.
Croc had the numbers. It was hard.
Because you would have thought that Sam and Jesse would be voting for Ben, so then if you and Khan are voting for Ben, that would have been the majority, yeah. So I get it. There was a lot of plans.
You know, and then Croc could maybe try again, you know, and do it again. But I wanted Benny because I also didn't – it's not that I didn't trust Benny. He just wasn't a thing, and everyone else was more of a thing.
How did the hierarchy of that post-swap tribe manifest? Because we see, like, so at first it's a Sophie vote, and as you said, like, that's kind of just following on from what you were going to do before the swap. And then Ben, Sam kind of indicated as well, like, as you're saying, it was just like not really vibing as much, maybe socially, and maybe like a little bit less trust there. So kind of just like the first two votes before we get to the Croc vote, and it's just like those main targets. Did you see a kind of hierarchy or people in charge, or did you just see kind of this like trust cluster as you were voting out people on the outside, like Sophie, for example, and like Ben?
No, I feel like, no, Sammy was really... she was a big deal. Like what Sam was saying, and Jesse and her were running the show. Khan was there. Mm-hmm. I was always a number, Shan. Like I've been given this title, you know, from some wankers that I still don't, I feel like I need to get over it, for God's sake, but whatever. You know, I just voted with everyone. No, I didn't. Like you don't see the chats. They were in depth. Sam and I were always talking, you know, KJ was always onto it with the votes and stuff. She always knew stuff. And we all had opinions and we were all listened to. I'm not going to say a hierarchy. I'm just going to say everyone was really listened to and we were all kind of on the same page. I feel like predicting, like not Croc, but predicting the next, who was next, who was next, who was next. There were no massive surprises that I can remember. But remember, I haven't got notes in front of me like you. I can't even remember who goes next.
No, I mean, look, we see a lot of the...
counting on you.
Yeah, I've got it all. We see a lot of the facial reactions at the Sophie vote, like when they're talking about Khan. Was that all edit, or were you really, like, starting to believe the Khan plan when at the Sophie vote?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't know. When I look back now, because I... legit, because you can't fake that, you know. I was just me especially, the shock of so many things is ridiculous, but just when you hear something that you weren't expecting, it takes your breath away, and then it makes you question and you dive into what was my conversation, what was the last conversation, where was I with that, who were they talking to, you know. You really doubt yourself. And Khan's been such a hard one because I know we haven't gotten to him yet, have we?
No.
The Khan vote's coming up. Yeah, no, we can't even go. No, we can't go to him yet, but that just, even just talking about him, that was so hard for Sam and I, but we'll circle back to that one.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't really know about that. I think everything that, it's as legit as it gets on my side.
How were you kind of dealing with KJ in this? Because obviously she votes out her sister, you all vote out her sister, you'd been so close to her, and we see you really as like a bit of like an emotional support system for her through a lot of those conversations on the hammock as she's dealing with what Sophie is doing. So where were you kind of sitting and just supporting KJ through that whole experience?
Well, that's exactly what I was doing. I had to support her because no one wants to be with their loved one and have to consider voting them. But KJ was playing a very different game until Sophie came over. Sophie then came over and KJ went into a shell a bit. Obviously there's, you know, two different personalities there, and KJ was killing it. And then Sophie came over and she sort of was the loud voice that KJ was just trying to get momentum and find her voice. So I felt for Cage, but I also knew what she needed to do to make sure she could move forward in the game. So I needed to say to her, without being a cow, I've got you back here. I'm going to be doing this with you. You don't have to tell anyone or say anything or feel bad about it, because this is going to be the best for you, you know. And Sophie had said several times, this is KJ's dream, I'm here for her, you know, we got here together, but I'm happy to bow down as such. But it wasn't really like that. KJ hustled and, you know, we got the job done and off Soph went. But, of course, it was sad and I felt for KJ because I'd lost Croc. You know, you can't describe it when your loved one goes. It's really tough.
Mm.
They're the ones that you can 100% trust, you know. But I think Sophie going for KJ was the best thing that could have happened, because KJ then found a feet again.
Mm. And when you vote Ben at that first Ben Tribal Council, where he doesn't go and KJ goes to the other side, Croc is with you in that. You're all voting for Ben. So as you're saying, like, obviously you guys aren't going to be on the same page in a little bit, but did you see that gap widening? Like, was that really hard for him? And how were you kind of dealing with him through all of that?
Yeah, definitely it was hard because I was seeing his relationship with him and his loyalty to him, and I didn't have it. I was the opposite. You know, so I was not sort of with Benny, and then Croc had such guilt because he had a bit of a thing, I think, that he had said that him and Benny would be honest and, you know, have each other's back. But Ben, I don't think Ben did that anyway, didn't play that out as it was meant to be. But I don't know, I just felt like there wasn't a drift and no one was separating, and Croc and I weren't falling out or anything over it, but we just weren't on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very hard. At the next challenge, where Croc is going to be the one going, you do throw the challenge, as we saw, which is, you know, as someone who maybe hadn't seen a lot of Survivor, that's, you know, been on the show for a long time. So, like, how did that come about, that plan? Obviously, it doesn't go great in the fact that Croc ends up going. So how did you look at it then, and how do you look back at it now?
Oh, well, I was shook by it. So it wasn't till the last minute. It wasn't this big orchestrated, we're going to throw it. It was, if we can get rid of Benny, we need to go to tribal. That was it. And we were like, Benny's got to go. So never in my head was it even a consideration that Croc was going to go home. And don't forget, the conversation that Croc had to go for Jesse happened way after challenge back at the water. So this wasn't something, I wasn't getting sucked in by Jesse and Sam. They were friends with Croc. We were going for Ben. So in terms of the throw, it's a bit of a sore spot because it wasn't a, we are that sly. It was, okay, if we lose this, we get to take Benny out, we get to regather, everyone can find their heads again, let's do it. It was never anything else except for that. So I was shitting the challenge naturally. It was a tough one. I didn't tell Croc about the throw because it was for Benny. This is his mate. So it was only going to be negative for Croc to hear that. Jesse and Sam did it well, did the throw well. We lose, go back to camp. Somehow Croc in the water has this grand idea, which actually it was a good idea, you know, like for him, he wanted those numbers changed. He wanted that alliance to be thicker and have more numbers on it, on that side. So when he started that chat, I was like, oh, God, here we go. You know, like if we hadn't won, we wouldn't have been having, if we hadn't won, we wouldn't be having this conversation, but he's ready to make a move, so let's think about it. Now looking back, holy crap, you know, like that's why you probably shouldn't throw challenges. I was probably just a number in that, and it wasn't this huge to me. Like we haven't even actually really spoken about it that much. It wasn't this great thing that we did, I think, because it worked out so badly for me. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't like how tight Benny and Croc were at the time. I felt it was a little bit impacting. It wasn't breaking us up, but it was clouding a bit of Croc. And then so this seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah, it's interesting how Blood versus Water works into it, because it's just saying you weren't close to Shay and she'd been part of the Brianna thing, and then one of his main allies is Ben. Like, that's very disparate. And by the time you've met up, like, you were in a very different place with him. Like, that's just a hard one.
Oh, absolutely. And he's thick as thieves with his people and I am with mine.
Yeah.
So the only rational thing was to back ourselves, do what we thought we were meant to do. And then, oh, God, then his name, the second or third vote, I just felt sick. My stomach still does a roly-poly now.
God.
Because I just thought, he can't go home. Like, he cannot go home. This is his. Like, you swap with me. Take my thing. You go.
That actually was a thing in one of the Blood versus Water seasons where you could swap with your
loved
one. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Well, they went to another island. They went to, like, Redemption Island, where they could fight for a chance to get back in the game, and the loved one who was in the game could choose to trade places with them, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. So I am, like, I literally looked him in the eyes and said, I can't do this. Like, it was like a roller coaster, Shan. So I lost him. I found my newbies. I lost them. I got Croc back. I lost Croc. What if the OGs didn't come back? Like, it was just exhausting and I was buckled, you know, like, I just wasn't ready for it. A blindside literally is the best name for it, because you are blinded. Like, you're everything. I just couldn't believe it. Even now, actually, I'm going to watch that episode tonight.
Sounds like a painful way to spend the Thursday.
Yeah. Oh God, no, I'm not. I'm not going to.
Yeah. I mean, I get why you threw the challenge. Like, Ben had just been voted out, so you would think that, like, as sure a thing as that can be, like, it happened yesterday. Surely we can do this again. But you know, wasn't to be. A lot changes in that way, and you know, you do lose Croc, and you've described the feeling of that. What's the feeling after that? What's the feeling of then going back to camp and just having to wrestle with the fact that Croc is gone, the fact that Sam and Jesse were a big part of that, and like yesterday, you know, had their reasons and he was going for Jesse, but those are two really clear allies for you, two allies you're going to work with, you know, through the next
work
few
weeks
at the very
and
least.
I'm working with their partners.
Yeah, so what are your feelings in that moment?
I don't know, like I had the shits, you know, like I remember Sammy was so good, so I couldn't stop crying in the bloody, like the waiting area where we go to get home. And I remember just being so upset. Like, I'm a bit of a sook anyway, but I was just questioning what I'd done, and then had Jesse and, I don't know, you start thinking, did Jesse and Sam stitch me up? And then so I was cross at them, and then I was shitty because I wanted Croc to stay and that I wasn't allowed to go. And I think when I got back there, I'd had time to think. And in my head, I was like, if you go in, and you're like, you're a dog, I'm dobbing on you to your partner and I'm dobbing on you to your partner, and look like a little bit of a brat. And that survivor, I had to just suck it up, because I could only imagine being around someone who came back sassy from what the whole objective of the game is, to get rid of people. So in my head, I just wanted to talk to both of them and just say, that's heavy, you know, if this is going to continue, I don't want to work with you guys, you know, like, who's going to blindside me all the time, or is it just because it was Croc, you know? And someone said something to me, and Sam goes, just leave her, she's allowed to be upset, can you just leave her? And that's when I realized she had my back, because if she was being a cow, or if she was playing harder and I was just a pawn, she wouldn't have had my back like that. She made them leave me alone. And then Jesse then came over and said, I need to talk to you. I need you to know that Croc was going for me, and I found out about it, and it had to stop. So, you know, you need to know this is a game. It doesn't change how I feel about you. So he got redemption as well. I don't know. I just think I just harvested all my anger over to Ben, and because he's the one that dobbed them in, and then that sort of put a target on Ben's back for me, because I was like, no, he fought for you. Like, he fought and brought Ben, you know, other people's names in my tribe to me, Croc did, to save and protect Ben. And then for him to do that, I thought, no, there's a difference between saving yourself, or I had worked out that probably still didn't even buy Benny trust from the other two. He was trying to get into this new group, and that was never going to work because it was so bad. He was your best friend, you know what I mean? So to me, yeah, I don't think it was respected. And I think Benny thought he might be able to get into the cool kids club, you know, with doing something like that. But if anything, it made us all go, oh, shivers, you're going to flip that quick on Croc? Like, yeah, might have been detrimental, obviously. Well, obviously it was.
Yeah, I mean, at the next vote, it's like Ben is coming for you and Khan to a degree and trying to split there.
Yep.
And you guys are going for Ben, and you're having to rely on Sam and Jesse, who did just blindside you with the Croc vote. So how confident did you feel that that was going to work out?
You know what? The confidence came from the chat at the fire at night. If they had left me for the night, there is no way that I would have been a little bit, shivers, I'm in trouble. The way they spoke to me and how Sam shushed everyone up, because everyone was trying to, you know, well, it is again. No, leave her. Just let, because I'm an emotional person as it is. I'm such an emotional hot mess. So how she did that and how Jesse manned up and said, I need you to know this isn't about you. My feelings don't change. You're still with us. Sweet. I knew I was fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
a pretty good gauge of people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's part of the social game as well. It's not just the relationships, but it's in reading people, which I think is definitely a big skill that you have. But another big thing of this tribal council before we get to the merge is Khan crying about how much you mean to him. So at this moment's hilarious to me, because you're like, I don't even need to look back to know, but then you do look back and he's just like sobbing, which is a hilarious moment to me. So can you talk a little bit about how that relationship had progressed and why there was that trust and emotion and how it, I mean, he's going to go home next, we'll talk about that. But at that time, he's crying from how much he loves you.
This is a person who is addictive. When Khan's around, you just want to listen. He's funny as hell. He's animated. He's dramatic. You know, he's charismatic and he's loyal. He's a kind, caring person like Amy to be around. So him and I spent probably from day two till whenever it was up from, I want to say about 3 a.m., but there's no clock. So when you are sleeping next to someone or near someone, every night, and you're waking up to them every day with birds chirping and the bloody sun and the, you know, sun's rising and the, whatever. It's heaven on earth, right? And you've got no distractions, Shan. You're not on your phone. You're not talking to your mate about her busting up with whatever. You are in that moment with everything that's in that environment only. So the only thing you've got is each other to chat. So him and I would get up at 3-ish. He was teaching me how to do all the cooking and stuff, and I was listening to his stories as he'd cook, and then we'd tidy up and get everything ready. And then we'd go back and have a lay down and wait for everyone to wake up. And that kind of time and bonding and quietness made kind of my relationship and Sam. Sammy was there as well. She might not have gotten up at three, but she was up a couple of hours later helping and doing it all with us. But we got deep. And this is someone, you know, Khan's looked into adoption and he is, you know, he's got his culture. My daughter's Vietnamese Cambodian. So there's connections everywhere. Everywhere I turned, Khan was connected to me. My three best friends out of the show are gay. So we had lots of chat there. You know, like this is a guy who covers a lot of my bases in my world. And he just, without saying words on day whatever it was, said, like, we're a thing. I got you. If you're in trouble, I'm going to tell you. And let's play this game, you know, let's see how we go. We were never an alliance, and we both say it to this day. We weren't ever, you have to vote against me, you know. But he was safe and my happy place out there, and he was a great guy. He would, you know, tell tales of stories that just cracked me up and then other ones that made me cry, you know. So you're bonding unplanned. You're bonding that happens but unplanned. You know, you can't deny what happens out there. You can't. No one gets it. That's the thing. That's the hardest thing about Survivor. It's the thing that screwed me up the most when I came out. I couldn't get out to people the connections that you have in there, and I didn't know how to keep them how they were and make them real in the real world, but they could never. You can't do that. Everyone's got lives that you go back to, you know. So that was tough. You know, the whole Khan thing coming up is tough as well because we've got theories on that. But, yeah, the fact when I knew that I wasn't in trouble, I knew Benny was going for me. You know, I looked around and I just thought, I don't even need to look at him because by now, you know, you're just reading each other so much deeper than conversations nearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Ben does go, they make the fire, he loses at that fire challenge to Mel, and then we get to the merge. So I want to ask, what were your thoughts here about how this was going to go? You do reconnect with Josh and Mark. You have some people that you haven't played with before, like Jordan and Dave, who you're going to work with, who you're meeting like strategically and on at camp for the first time. So what were the new dynamics for you, and how did you see kind of the way those relationships were forming and how kind of the power was shifting at that merge?
Oh, man, merge was amazing. So to me, because I had no idea what it was, you know, just getting to sit down with these people, because everyone was like, you've made merge. I'm like, that's good.
Yay, you know,
like,
what do
we get to do now? Do we get to go to another home? Like,
and Sam and Mark have both spoken about, like, how much of a big deal it was to them because they hadn't made the merge the first time. And it was just like, you know, really big deal. And you're like, okay,
huge.
I've achieved this thing. And what have I achieved? Like, I love that.
Go, Chrissy.
Yeah, sure.
I literally said, I'm like, this is a big deal, isn't it? Like, these guys were crying on the mat, and I'm looking around going, what color's the new buff? Like, this is cute.
Yeah.
So I very much so underplayed, you know, and underestimated how good merge was. But then to go back with your people that you finally get to be back with and have a feed and sit with their partners, because don't forget, I'm a loner now. Mm-hmm. I'm by myself. I'm still thinking I'm the queen bee over there, and I still think I had some pull. You know, Benny's gone and I've got my people and I'm still tight with everyone, and see that I'm still talking to Mark and Josh and, you know, Jordan over the other side. Each day you're still having eye contact and conversations as you walk past each other. So to get them back, and then I got Jordan, you know, like I get Jordan. So I finally get to meet Jordan, who Croc was obsessed with, you know. So, and I pull him in and, you know, we're sitting there and we're eating and we're feasting and laughing. And it just made me think, you know, this is a family. You know, we are having a family meal. They're trying to make this as normal as it can be, but sooner or later, there's going to be chats and people are going to realize this group's big again and it's got to get small again before anything good can happen. So I think whilst I was very happy that all my babies had food in front of them and I got to, hug all the boys again and see the girls again and whatever. For a clue, I'm thinking who's closer to who than I haven't seen before. I'm watching Mark and Sam get back together and I'm thinking, crikey, I was Sammy and I was Mark. Where the hell do I fit in now? Jordan's back with Josh. I don't really fit in there now. Am I going to be a three for them? And so I was looking down the table and I'm sort of working out and Jesse was there and Geordie and I'm trying to look at what dynamics were sort of working. And then I'm like, okay, the singles are here and we're a big deal, but the couples are where my love is at. That's what I saw. So what do? Do you go, all right, calm. It's you and I. Let's bring in Dave and KJ. We've got a couple of others here. Like, let's make this happen. Or do I risk it for the biscuit? Do I put myself on the line and pull a little bit away from the singles and tag on in with the doubles or the pairs and pray that what I think I've got with Mark, Josh, Geordie is going to be enough for them to keep me around? And is my threat level in my social game low enough for them not to be fearful of me in any way? Because obviously physically and strategically, they don't respect me. So then I choose the couples. However, in my head, I'm looking at Dave and I'm thinking, I could actually have you as my couple as well and I'll keep Khan. So I'm theoretically a three with three pairs and a two with three singles. So I put myself quite up there in terms of having enough people to probably keep me around. Thankfully, it worked out because as the show goes on, my relationships form and I do end up being the partner of Mark, Josh, Dave, you know, and even KJ to an extent. I was literally, to them, I was one, but to me they were four. Mm-hmm. So I just, when I say it out loud, it kind of makes sense to me. I don't know if it makes sense to anyone else, but I just had at Merge, as I looked around and thought about it, I still thought I was in a really good position. Yeah.
I wanted to ask about Dave because this is when you're meeting up with Dave. We kind of assumed you were a pair when we were talking about moves that could have been made. You're saying that you were really close to him.
No.
And Dave has said the same and everyone has said that that was like a key relationship and one of the reasons they wanted Dave to go was because you guys were a little too close. He obviously is Brianna's dad and you and Brianna were not friends in the game.
I know, really. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Tell me about this relationship.
So he wanted blood.
Yeah, really?
So look, Dave came over. He came over and the boys had told me all these stories about how funny he was and Juicy Dave this. And I was like, how is he funny? I'm like, look at him. He's a straighty 180. His daughter was a hard ass to me. I said, no, I'm not going to like him. I said, I don't want to like him. And they're like, just shut up. Go and have a chat. And anyway, 2 seconds. So I straight up confessed. I go, listen here. You're on the same age bracket as me. I need to tell you this because if it was my kid, I'd want you to tell me and balls up. I definitely was instrumental in Brianna going home. I had to get rid of her. She went for me, so I struck back and then, you know, she's gone. So everything that you want to know, I'm going to tell you right now. So that night we spoke. I told him everything she did wrong, everything she did right, where it went wrong for her, what she could have done better. And I told him, and he was upset. He was really upset because he knew she's got a big personality like me, you know, like if it was my old man, he'd want me to do well. You know, she was desperate for Survivor to be a good thing. And so he was upset and he was vulnerable. And I fucking, I fell for him because I was like, what a man, you know, like this, his life revolves around her. And so, because I think I owned up to what I did to her and was part of, he respected me heavily for it because other people didn't do that. And so then from that day on, we literally cooked together, we laughed together, we strut together. Problem with Davey was he also had KJ. So I was like the wife and KJ was the hot mistress. So I couldn't release all of my trust to him because I still felt like I was number three. So I just couldn't. And everything he said was so intelligent and so true and so strategic and so good and so right, but it was against my two guns, and it was hard to listen to how Dave wanted to take them out because in my head I still have my day two, you know, me, Josh and Mark at the end. So I don't know. Poor old Davey.
We need to chart out the family tree you have created because it's a lot. So Dave's a spouse, Mark's a spouse, Sam's a spouse, KJ is the mistress of a spouse. I don't know if you gave KJ another title before. I'm trying to chat. So then Josh is a brother. Alex is a son. Jesse's a son. What else? Who else do we have right now?
Jordan's the nephew, which is weird because I don't know how Josh got brother and Jordan got
Well, they're cousins. Josh got brother. He's a nephew. That's not right. That's not the right level. Yeah.
So no. That doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
That doesn't work. Who else?
Khan. Who's Khan?
Khan's best friend.
Yeah.
Hello.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, I definitely had in my head our happy little modern family.
Very modern.
Jesse was the baby. Geordie, I reckon I wanted to be Geordie's girlfriend because he was fun. So, but he didn't want a bar of it. I was way too intense for Geordie. So, no, I never stood a chance. Geordie didn't get a name until he gave himself the name.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was there, Shan?
Oh, my
Jonathan.
God. Yeah, husband.
Hello. Husband.
You
lockdown,
have a lot of spouses.
No,
this is like polygamy going on right now. A lot of people are filling their role.
Oh, shit. That's bad.
Yeah.
Who else?
Croc was your actual brother-in-law. So that one's legit.
That's a legit one.
Yeah, that's fair. So.
Oh, too funny.
Oh my gosh.
We can come back.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is a very, very modern family tree. I do love it though. It's great.
But the worst thing is they didn't like it. Like Mark hated it.
They didn't like one being one of your four spouses.
No way. I know Dave, I had called him campsite husband and Marky was survivor husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you talk about it now, you think we're just absolute whack jobs, eh? And the funniest part is you literally spend your whole day with them. Like I bark at them. I barked at them like my kids or my husband or my sister or my brother or my whoever. I'll just constantly. It's actually really funny because I've talked to a few of them coming out of the game and they're like, you drove us up the wall and it just didn't get the edit. Like me just yelling, annoying, barking, saying, explain this to me. And oh man, thank God I got a good edit.
No, I mean, I think anyone who's listening to this podcast will understand that it's literally just a Chrissy confessional, but we've been doing it for almost 2 hours. So that's basically what I'm getting from it. No, which is the most amazing thing. You can only say that positively.
Sorry.
But now it's when your best friend in the family tree is going to go home at this first vote. So you vote for Mel on the split. I remember that you said in your voting confessional, so it was something vague. It was in the extended voting confessionals about how like maybe something else was going to happen or like you knew something bad was kind of happening. So well, how much did you
know
about
it? I knew the idol.
Right.
So basically when merge happened, it was hilarious because Jordan, Joshy and Mark came in and said, what are you guys doing? Khan has loaded up on idols. He is the kingpin. Why is he here? What are you doing? And they were real cranky at us, whereas Sammy and I were like clapping our hands like little girls going, we made magic! Are you so proud of us? Like, did we get a lolly? Like, we thought we were. And then they were like, you losers, pull your heads in. He's got the Khan like umbrella over you and you've got glass, what is it, the eyes? We've got googly eyes for Carney and the boys had just been like, it's got to go down. Like this has to happen. And Sammy was like, no, Shay's a bigger threat. Like let's do Shay. So I feel like at the time there was four on Mel, and then help me, four on Khan, four on Mel in my head and then who were getting the other two? Who were getting the other vote?
Because
I remember
Khan
it being
and Michelle voted for Shay, yeah. It was a majority on Khan and then there was a split on Mel and then the outside they voted for Shay, yeah.
So the split on Mel, by now, in my head, I'm going in as smart as I can, less conversation, thinking Khan's going to use the idol, Mel's going to head off home and we get to recess. And then the votes just started loading. So there must have been two that I wasn't fully aware of. I had a feeling Khan was in trouble, but I was like, all right, we're probably going to use that idol. I had my alliance and my numbers were not with Khan. So do I go over to my best friend or do I stay with my numbers who make me feel really safe and I still think I'm the boss over there? And that's where that sort of panned out, which is, yes, confusing, absolutely horrifically sad. But, you know, this is a guy who respects the game, loved the blind side, you know, paid it, respected it, and was happy about it. If he was going to go out, you want to go out that way. So I knew he wasn't going to be too livid. It wasn't like it was the fifth or fourth vote out, you know what I mean? Like he was going into jury. But yeah, look, to be fair, I just thought the idol might have gotten played and then off she went, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So you felt that you were in a similar position as Sam, where Sam has her numbers and her husband in that. She wants
100%.
Him to run, but then telling him to play the idol is against your numbers. So you're just hoping he'll do that without you having to actually be the one to blow everything up.
Hoping. Like, come on. You know that you're probably there. If I had have told him, you know, and if I was confident enough with him and the other singles, but I'm still, Shan, I'm still knee deep in my pairs over there, you know, and if Sam's in on the Mel vote, don't forget, Sammy and I had a ridiculous amount of chats because we wanted to really preach that Shay was going to be a number to have to deal with later in the game. She was so strong.
Mm.
No social, not really social. Strategic, no, I didn't really see strategic in her. Her physical was so threatening and so scary compared to Khan's, who was strategic, but not, you know, Khan was strategic, but his social was the big deal. So I guess they all just saw Khan had more points, you know, more resume stuff.
Mm. So what we see in the edit from here from Khan going is like, you know, the girl's going to flip, or at a point like, the single's going to flip on the couples. But I feel like this is maybe where the edit is the worst for me, because not knowing the context of you. Yeah. Like being with Mark and Josh, it's like, well, why is Christine?
I know.
You know, it seems like, okay, well, you're a girl. They're not. You're a single. They're not. But we're not seeing the context of like, you're in this relationship, family tree thing. Which means like all of the things we're seeing, are people going to flip? The context of that, I think, was very much missing from the edit. So it was a difficult one to analyze in hindsight.
I have heard so frustrating to watch because I look like an idiot, you know, like I look like I could have been busting numbers and people on that singles part. However, those singles and my relationships with them were nothing compared to me being knee deep with Mark and Sam, Jordy and Jess, and Josh and Jordan. So even foreseeing, I had in my head, okay, let's just say in an ideal world, Sam goes, Jordan goes, and Jesse goes, I'm going to be their new partner. I get to choose each time as those people go. I get to be a two again. I'm never going to be a one. Whereas with the singles, it was erratic. It was always Shay a bit of this and Nina a bit of this. You know, whoever it was, the chats were very, whoever it was there, I can't even remember, Michelle, Melissa, all of those merge, they weren't security enough for me. It wasn't secure and I wasn't confident enough with knowing exactly what they were chatting about. And because you didn't see how much I was with the others, like you need to know, I was in those couples chats as a three. We would go and, yes, they'd go chat as twos, but then there were three chats. And, I mean, I know if I'm in it or not. I never doubted that I wasn't in it. So what you saw, you must have been losing your heads because you, me watching it, I was like, good God, Chrissy, work with Dave here and KJ. Go, start working now. Mm-hmm. Do it, you know. But it didn't look like that. It didn't play out like that, what you saw.
Mm-hmm. So from here, you know, through kind of that first part of the merge, what's going to be the big break is going to be when the three pairs are having to turn on each other. And as I said, Mark did give a lot of credit to you in being the peacemaker between him and Josh and having to turn on what will be Jesse. So a few parts in that, like, how are you feeling about this vote? You're very, very close to Jesse. We really don't get your perspective through so many of these votes when you're an important part of it. But you get brought into what's
called the six. I just look like I just voted like everyone said to. I know.
Yeah. And that's
and I don't even like. And just even everyone saying brought into the six. I still don't even think I was brought into the six. Like I was literally
creating it.
This,
yeah,
probably the three. I didn't even have the others in my head. I was number three, maybe two or three. So what happened was someone got back to Mark and Sam. Oh, well, it would have been Jord or Jesse, the loose lips. You know, hey, listen, Josh has said Mark's name. That's what he said. And it got back and I said to Mark and Sam said to me, listen, you think that we're all this tight. Josh has said Mark's name. And I was like, yeah, but he's going to tell him that there's a reason, there's a plan. I said, I know that there's a plan. So can we just deal with Mark doing his thing with Mel at the moment? Because he was having a yarn, you know, there was something going on with Mel or something, one of the contestants. And Mark was knee deep in that. And I said, just, can you please just not go psycho yet? I need Mark and Josh to have a chat. So then, of course, I said to Josh, you need to get to Mark today. Like, they're talking about you that you're going to strike on Markey. And Josh was like, yeah, no, okay, all right, I'll get over there. So then they had a chat and the dust settled. So I was pivotal in these little things that were happening. I sprung Jesse and Geordie one night having a chat, and Dave had gone for a toilet as well, and I found those three together. So then I took that information back. So there were little things, Shan, that were happening all the time that I saw, I was acting on, I was taking it back to Josh and Mark, you know. And this was one of the big ones, because when Mark found out that Josh had said his name, he's, you know, he's, whoop, hang on a minute, not that close, but we were. So I needed to bring that back in, because I needed those two to be together, because I was that was my group, you know, like I couldn't have them turning. I thought the shit's going to hit the fan if these two go on each other.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Them turning on each other would have been like the worst thing possible for you. Like that's your one and two.
Yeah. Nightmare.
Yeah. Like them going against Geordie and Jesse and consolidating for longer is the best case scenario. Yep. So the fact that you would be part of that, like that's a great move.
Oh, it was scary, because it made me nervous that Mark would then go, what the hell is she talking about? You know, like I put myself on the line, and I had to get to Josh and tell him to get to Mark, because people will, once a rumor goes, once something's said, it flies through the camp. Mm. So I just didn't want that tarnish to happen quickly. Mm-hmm. But thank God I got to it in time. But, you know, they once that was out and those two had spoken about it, Mark had a hard day. I'm trying to remember. I really need to remember. The reason Josh didn't tell him in the morning was because something happened in the day and Mark just needed some real time. He actually had a cry that day about something and we were dealing with it. And Josh, I said to Josh, don't go yet. Just leave Mark for a minute, but do it today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good. It was good. And that, you don't see it.
Yeah.
Don't see how we were all.
Mm. Well, reconciling Josh and Mark, definitely important, but it does mean that it goes against Jesse. And, you know, we know how close
we
are. We know that the last time there was a bit of a Jesse issue was it with Croc, and even then, like, you were so emotional with your partner in the game, and these are your, you know, partners in the game now, but you have only met them within the last month. So people were confused about how we had seen nothing of you and Josh, and all we'd seen was how much you love Jesse. So we were very, very confused about kind of how it would go that way.
See? Imagine watching it.
Yeah, it was confusing. But how did you feel then about it having to be Jesse then, your son in the proverbial family tree that's getting cut for a movie you know, you're a big part of?
And just being the mum to do it. But the thing is, when you're this deep with people, you got to find something. It's the only way that I could do it. So he was instrumental in Croc. What else am I going to go with? I've got to choose. You know, I literally had to choose. And I was like, if I blow my alliance here, I still thought my numbers were higher with the others. And you got one strike for Croc. You know, you lied to me for that. So that was the call.
But was it hard, like emotionally, or at that point you were like, well, now we know
hideous.
We're far into the game, yeah.
No, it's hideous. But like I said to you when I went back there, you can't go back and be salty. You can't go back and sook. You can't bring attention to yourself that makes other people be annoyed by you. You have to just be this real, very clear-headed level, but you can't be too big or too small. And I thought, you know, what am I going to do? Let this absolutely smash me. You know, we all had a bit of a tear about it. Geordie was livid. You know, he came back. He was good though. Like, but you're cranky. You know, you just got to let everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez. It just makes you remember it all.
Mm-hmm. So after that, a couple of things are happening here that I want your take on. The first being, we heard about why you guys didn't believe Geordie's, you know, story about the idol. He came back. He said Jesse had left with it. Mark and Sam have explained as well. Josh also said, like, everyone who didn't believe it is like, but he said when he came back, he was trying to work with Sam and Mark. He said Jesse left with the idol, and then he went back on it 500 times, but the bed had been made. Where did you sit with this the whole time? with the idol, with the story?
Isn't this crazy?
Yeah, it is.
This bloody double idol.
So long.
So we stand up and Sammy has a long talk with Jesse. I'm sort of assertive with stuff like this. I'm like, what are they talking about? What have you possibly got to say except love you, see you soon?
Yeah, sorry.
But it was long. It was long, and I was right next to them. So I was watching, and I'm like, what else? I'm sorry. Did you know? Good luck. See you soon, you know. And then Geordie says, textually, this is a dead set stitch up. I remember him saying it. randomly at Tribal. He puts his head back like this. He goes, "This is an absolute stitch up," or "What is happening? What a stitch up." That's what he said. And in my head, I'm like, that is a very strange comment. Like, what's a stitch up? You know, you went home. It's not that big a deal. You might have known. He might have been on the chopping block sooner or later. So then Geordie says, as we're leaving Tribal or into the very early minutes or what have you of it happening, he goes to all of us, "I cannot believe Sam has sent my brother home with his idol. He's a super fan. I can't believe this. He's gone home with it." You know, like, what a play, what a move, well done. You know what I mean? Like,
when leaving Tribal, someone should have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Geordie to us.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that. But I still have these other two weird things. You know, the conversation Jesse was there was too long, and Geordie saying stitch up. I just thought someone had done something a little bit sus. But I lost those thoughts because Geordie had said, "I can't believe my brother's taken the bloody idol home." So the next day, the story's different. So Geordie's a bit loose. He's a little bit chaotic. He's already got in trouble for telling other people about these idols that people had that he shouldn't have told them. So he says, "Oh, like, Sam's kept the idol of Jesse's. He's got it. She's got it. She put it in her sarong and kept it. It's here in her bag." And we go, "You're delusional." Like, we were all just like, "Do not insult us. Your brother's a super fan. No one gives up an idol. The idol's at home. You're tripping." So because of Geordie's history in the past with his loose lips and his erraticness, no one believed him. And it just, Mark and Sam were so convincing. And Mark was even taking on a role of being cranky that we were still talking about it. Like, brilliant by him. Brilliant. Geordie never stood a chance. And it wasn't until a couple of days, you know, however long it was, you lose time. I literally go to Mark, "Okay, I'm going to say this once more. If you have got this second idol, I'm going to wheel and deal with you. I've got a proposition. If you honestly show me it and let me hold it and show me that you've got it, we're tight, we're a thing, I'll give you a vote. Like, I'll give you a massive vote. You know, I'll owe you this forever." And then he goes to me, Mark looks me in the eye and he goes, "All right, we'll have a chat." And then production, something happens and I get dragged or he got dragged and we couldn't finish the chat. So in my head, I'm like, "Oh, he wouldn't have said that if he didn't have one." You know, like, you don't act like that. So then in my head, I've just always got this idol. There could be a second idol. I always just had it in me. But when everyone else is saying no chance, you just give up. You just give up. And Mark was just so good. After that, we never went back. Mm-hmm. We never went back there.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that's happening at this time and that we saw in the edit was, like, people seem to see Sam as, like, very paranoid and, like, even, like, there are comments being made.
Yep.
You and Josh are saying, like, "Oh, watch her blow her game up when she goes to talk to people." And I know we talked about, like, the way that the edit was a little bit myopic with that, and maybe, you know, it was a little extreme. But, like, how did you see about, you know, Sam's actions at this time and how it was affecting people?
She was absolutely scattered. She was everywhere. She was in every conversation. She was busy. She was talking a lot and she was a hype. So I felt that energy and it's not easy to be around. And I've told her that, but that was her game. You know, she's allowed to be intense. She's allowed to, I guess she was a bit paranoid because that was definitely what was happening. She'd done something wrong. Of course you're paranoid when you're lying to everyone. I mean, it's not brain surgery. So she had the right to be paranoid. If I've done something wrong, you're paranoid. You're guilty. You're defensive, you know? Mm-hmm. So her body language and everything, she was really, really, like, the swaying and busy chatter and lots of chatter and talking all the time and overcompensating maybe. So, that was a thing. And I remember Geordie, Josh and I saying, and Dave even, you know, like, she's going to explode. Like, there's just too much energy thing. And it did work against her because don't forget, Mark's literally in a coma and Sammy's ADHD. So these two are like, you know, yin and yang in this game. And Mark had played a very chilled, controlled, not too intense, not too threatening, you know, put Josh forward as the threat, as such, as the leader. And then Sammy was just always talking a lot about everything that was happening in the game. And her and I talked a lot, but just for this particular time, I think that really got the wheels in motion for her to start being a bit too much. And people were saying, I said to Mark, people were saying in our alliance, all right, live here because it's making it quite stressful, you know. And I remember saying to Mark, oi, you tell Sammy, because I don't know if she would want to hear it from me, but, you know, everyone's sort of saying, chill a bit. And I think he did. But then again, there's your edit of him looking like the bad guy. It should have just been me, but I'm not her wife, you know. Like, I was tied with Mark. It's as simple as that. So I told him, you know, to have her back.
Mm-hmm. So the six are going to stay together through the purgatory votes. Did your plans become affected by purgatory at all? Like, would you have wanted it to go down to the six anyway? Or do you feel like maybe a split would have come before then? But then because you knew there was a twist, or you would have been told that because Shay's not there, you know, it was becoming a little twisty. Do you feel like that really affected the strategy of those votes?
Oh, I don't know about that. I love the six. That purgatory I wasn't at all affected by it. I knew that I can't tell you and say it enough. I just was safe. So big things like this weren't affecting me. Maybe they should have, and maybe that worked in my favor. I wasn't freaking out. I wasn't erratic. I wasn't, what's going to happen? They're going to come back. Everyone's going to, you know, they're going to be fierce. They're going to be the three that are so connected. No, I knew they weren't going to be, because they hadn't had tight bonds with everyone for the whole game. You don't just go out there for a couple of days and no, mm-hmm. no, it wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm. So in your exit and in Josh's exit, you talked about how you voted for Dave. And this, you know, concerned him at the KJ vote, or, I mean, you said that it had been done at a point. And I looked at the Wikipedia page and there was no Dave vote at any point, and I was extremely confused. And then Sam clarified on the deep dive that you voted for Dave at the KJ vote, which was buried by the edit, which never ever showed a Dave vote, and which made it seem like KJ had had five votes, which is something I really, really don't agree with the edit doing, because drafts and stats and transparency.
Agree.
So, yeah, to lie about it and not to show it, and then KJ would go on either the fourth or the fourth of five votes, because it was 4-2 to 1-1. They made it look like a 5-2-1. Either way, that fourth vote should
be like a five. One.
They just never showed the Dave vote. And apparently it was like a really pivotal thing. So can you talk through the fact that you had voted for Dave at the KJ vote, and why, and what happened with that and the fallout?
It is so bad. So it shows why the superfans are allowed to hate me.
No, so, no superfan hates you.
Oh, no, no. I you know what I mean? Like, not, no, no, they don't hate me. But so for this one, what happened was, because don't forget, I've forgotten heaps of it, and I knew this one was coming. I voted for Dave, but we weren't allowed to talk about it. Remember?
It was a KJ vote. Yeah, yeah. It was right before it had happened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was right before it. So why wasn't I allowed to discuss with the others who I was voting for?
I guess just as part of the twist.
Because the twist was that. Because I can't remember, because I wanted to ask you this before we started and then I forgot. What happens is we sit down, and doesn't Jonathan say, because I voted for Dave, because I looked at Mark and Mark put his eyes down to look at Dave, but to this day he said he was looking at KJ. And then in my head, I knew Dave was at the six. So I'm like, well, Dave's got to go. He's going to be the next vote. So I'm confused by this as well.
All right.
Well,
we can talk about it on the pod, because, yeah, they weren't allowed to. So what do you not want to say on the podcast?
I just don't know. I'll say it all, but I just want to know what the twist was. What did Jonathan say to us?
Yeah.
Did he say the twist is tonight we're voting again? Like what happened? Yeah. Was there a split or something?
No, yeah, they said that the twist is tonight we're voting again, and then you had to immediately vote KJ out right after Geordie had gone.
So Geordie went over to Purgatory.
Yeah, and then immediately had to vote again.
So we had two people going.
Yeah.
So then, and then
maybe the AirPods as well, the new ones, maybe a little, like, blown out a little bit.
Is that bad?
Try it now.
What about now?
This is perfect. Right now. Perfect, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry. And sorry to do this. It's just because I haven't watched it back.
So So Geordie goes, and then KJ.
Why do you guys call it the KJ vote? Because that's when she went.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I vote for Dave because I thought that my crew was starting to get a radar on Dave, that he was really threatening.
All right.
And they wanted him to go next.
All right, so let's just say that. So, yeah. Okay. So just if you explain that.
Okay, cool.
Let's do it.
Yep.
So, yeah, basically with the KJ vote, because I remember Jonathan said, and here we go, guys, we're going to vote again. So there was no chat time. Mm-hmm. No one was allowed to have a discussion. So I look up at Mark and I'm like, oh, I can't talk to you. Give me something. And from what I remember, he sort of looked down towards Juicy and I was like, yeah, okay, I can presume that it's going to be Juicy because he was starting to get some real momentum. He was super smart. He'd gotten in my ear about the boys, but the boys had also said to me, you're listening to Dave too much. He's really impacting some of your thoughts. You know, so in my head, I'm like, I'm going to just be, everyone's going to be so proud of me that I've realized that we're going to take Dave out with no chat. So, yes, I go up and write Juicy. I write his name down. They start reading them all out, and I'm like this. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I got it wrong. I've cooked it. And I couldn't believe that they went KJ first. I didn't understand why. I thought Juice was way bigger threat. The backlash of this, my friend, is that Juice then knew that someone in his alliance had voted for him. So then he was paranoid, and mm-hmm. he then got cross and pulled away a little bit because whoever it was, obviously he worked out it was me, I'm in the big guns group. Mm. If I'm even thinking about talking about his name, obviously he's not as safe as he thinks he is. So then that put a lot of pressure on our alliance as well because Juice then sort of swung over the other way a bit. So, yeah, I double cooked that. But, I did know that it did look like a 5 on cage, didn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because obviously he's going to flip. But even he in this vote, he votes against what we still don't really know is he says Mark, but we don't technically know because we didn't see the votes. But, you know, he's part of votes against Mark and Sam. So in terms of the alliance, like it really was the couples and you. It seemed more like a 5 with Dave, who definitely could have been part of plans as it went along, but wasn't, you know, it seems, as solidly in the alliance as the 5 of you were.
Absolutely. That's it. And everyone still says, oh, gosh, Davey this, you should have stayed with him. Even Dave says to me, we could have been something. We could have absolutely smashed it. But we've got to go on your gut and your alliance and your trust. And I stick to it to this day. Because even chats that you have after the show, you know, Davey is so smart. He's like, this and this and this could have played out. But when I voted for him, I think that's where I definitely went to the bottom of his priority list because he couldn't trust me.
So when the Purgus 3 come back, there's a couple of things happening after that. We do have the auction and we have the letters and Josh finding out that he was going to be a dad. And I know your experience with fertility has been kind of its own journey. And that was a lot of the news at the beginning of the season. So was that something that you guys had really spoken about and bonded over, knowing that you were so close? And how was it, you know, watching him have that moment?
Oh, that was the best ever. Like, if anything comes out of the show, it's that baby. Like, how brilliant for them. We definitely bonded over that. Like, you chat at night, you go deep, you know, like he had talked about how they'd done, you know, some fertility stuff and that IVF was the next thing for them. And, you know, that's hard because I've had such a shit journey and a shit experience with IVF. So you don't want that for your family. Like, you know, Josh was my brother out there. I didn't want him to have to go through that, and it's expensive and, you know, they're young and, yeah, I was just something I just didn't. I don't want anyone to have to do it. We can all do it. It's something that is done, and women do it every day. IVF, you know. But to have to get that picture for him, it just killed me because I was just so happy that they wouldn't have to do that journey, and you know that it's all he wanted to be a dad. So, you know, that's super cool. I was absolutely chuffed to be sitting next to him. I remember actually saying to him and Jord, I'm going to need to sit next to you for this because if there's a letter from Croc or my kids, it's probably going to bring me a bit unstuck. But yeah, you know, IVF's it's not a trigger because I'm so blessed to have my 3 adopted kids. You know, like I've got my babies. IVF got me those kids. Mm. But for your friend to not have to do the stuff that I'd been through, and we've talked about it long nights, you know, just another pressure you don't need on a relationship. So, yeah, I'm frothing for them. They haven't got long to go. That little survivor baby will come out and live a fabulous life, no doubt. And, what a moment to be there with him and George for that.
Yeah, lucky. I mean, that was a beautiful moment. Did you know that there was such thing as a survivor auction? Like, that's a fun survivor thing to be a part
of. No.
Were you like, what's going
on? Now, that was cool. Yeah. No. So, yeah, take the seriousness out for a minute. So when we walked in, I could hear them in the line because we're not meant to talk when we walk in, and they're like, it's auction, it's auction, it's auction. I'm like, what's an auction? We're selling an auction. I had no clue. I was like, what's an auction? And then I said to Tahi, I straight away said to him, boy, what do you do? How do we get money? How are we getting money? He's like, shush, relax, you'll get a wallet, just relax. And I'm like, no, I can't relax. How do you buy the first thing? Like, I was just like a kid in a candy store. And of course, Jonathan explains it really quickly. I open the wallet and it's hysterical, Shan, because you don't see the edit on this either. Like, oh, I got so much stuff. So I get the pie straight up and I'm frothing at the whole thing and I'm looking around and Dave's getting this and Jordan gets a feed and poor old Geordie gets ripped and then Sammy gets a bit of toast, but I'm like, don't worry, it's just carbs. You're so lucky. I've had this meat pie. I'm starting my stomach churning about halfway through the auction. I'm like, oh, because I don't really eat meat. So I just downed it, you know, and I hadn't eaten anything for however many weeks. So I remember that feeling and thinking this could be trouble in a while. And then poor old Josh got a fig, which you don't see. So this is a guy who's like running on zero. All I want is for him to get a feed. And then I win this plate size Greek wrap lamb chockers to the top, salad, chips, monstrosity of a meal. But I'm chockers from the pie and I can feel a rumble in the basement. I'm like, there is something happening with the pie. I can't possibly eat this lamb. How do you say shish kebab thing? Like
shish kebab.
A food like. Shan, like, it took up the whole plate. And I go to Jonathan, it's so bad. I go, I don't really like cucumber. And I can see there's cucumber in this. And he looks at me like, you ungrateful brat. So you don't see so much of it. Like, other people won stuff. And then I think KJ gets the tea and she's so cool, calm, collected, come sit down. And I'm laughing. I'm like, sucked in. You got a bloody tea, woman. I got three meals here. And then we get Shays. And, you know, this is a selfless person. She is very selfless. And she said that the numbers were a given. She was never going to change her mind. So I just lost my head because I end up with a meat pie and sauce, this huge lamb thing. And I'm shoving it down everyone's throat as we're walking out because I wanted them to have some sort of food because I couldn't eat it. Seems so wasteful. And then, you know, we leave with these letters like, how good. What a day. It was the best ever.
Mm.
Best ever.
Yeah. So that teapot is going to be eventful. You're going to get sent out of tribal council that night. What was it like waiting back at camp? Who did you think was going to be going home?
Oh, Shen, here's Josh and Mark and I. We get put in this bloody bus and we're sitting there and we all think we're Christmas. I'm there going, I am so popular. I'm thinking KJ is my girl. Shannon, that's how dumb I am.
No.
And I get it and I think we're going to get all this food. They're probably going to just do their own thing. I'll get dinner on early. Look at Mark and Josh. We're the three besties. And then Josh is gone. Boy, this is a stitch up. He goes, we're in trouble here. And Mark's like, oh, my God, I've just worked it out too. And I go, what's happened? Are we evicted? Like, I'm thinking, what's happened? I've read this wrong. Are we actually going home? And then we realised, we're like, they're going to take out Jordan because how clever. They had sent home us who would have definitely impacted that vote and not allowed it to happen because we were so fried. Josh went with the necklace. You know, he took a few steps and was like, oh, my God, the necklace. I've got to give him the necklace. It was too late. Oh, the whole thing. It was, I can't say it enough. When you're so tired and they throw you a curveball like that, you don't think straight. I mean, of course he was going to give him the necklace and, of course, I didn't want to leave because then I realised who was there. And then I remember just we'd gotten back, I'd cooked up a storm. I think Josh heard them come back first and he sort of walked over. And then Marky was like walking and I just said, who was it? Please tell me who it is. And then I thought it was Geordie and bloody Jordan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard one. I mean, look, there probably is something to maybe your relationship with KJ and how she definitely did want to work with you later on. Like, she wasn't going to have you be in danger there and be vulnerable. It could have been you there instead of Jordan.
Correct.
It could have been you there instead of
Correct.
Sam if they were fearful about an idol. Or, I mean, they wanted to flush the idol, but there were options for them and they chose to send you away so you couldn't be voted out. So there's different parts to that where, yes, like, obviously
Absolutely.
It's an attack on your group, but you are being saved in that and parts of that. You
yeah.
know, that's valid. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to accept that. Absolutely. And then... however everyone looks at it later, you know, like that I did owe KJ an IOU or what have you, that's fine. But at the time, don't forget I'm really mad.
No, for sure.
Home.
Yeah.
So my loyalties were there and, you know, I was thankful, but I was peeved.
Mm-hmm. at the next vote where, you know, Sam is going to go, obviously your group's been fractured and Jordan has gone and now you will be Josh's full number one, but
yeah,
the group has definitely really changed. So you're talking to Josh about what a threat Sam and Mark are. You don't end up voting for Sam and Josh actually does. So what are your thoughts through this and how does this vote come about to vote still for Geordie, but Josh turns on Sam and Sam goes?
Yeah, this is a hard one because I've got some hate on this, but look, to write Sam's name would have been impossible. The idea was to either, I remember pulling Josh and I just said, I know Sam and Mark are in the plans. I believe that Mark's with us, so it is going to be Sammy. I'm now your Jordan, you know, so I've already got my finger in the pie here a little bit with, I've got my long-term goal was starting to play out. So I got to be Josh's partner. I was soon going to be Mark as well. And then I was just chipping away, you know, like I knew that this was going to, if I could play it right, that this would be a thing. So I just remember we just went straight over to the log and I just said, listen, I know the plan is Sammy, you know, I'm aware of this, but should we, because it wasn't this time, we were going to do it the next one. And I said, you know, I know you want to get rid of Joker, but these guys have got a necklace. They've got bloody idols. They could possibly have two and they're a couple. Now you're by yourself. Me and you aren't blood. Let's just talk about this. You know, this is a lot. And he's like, yep, Dave's on board. Let's do it. Let's go early. So then at the very last minute, because we're still loyal and the numbers were going to stack up against us, I think Josh went for that last plea just at the last minute to say, quickly just use the idol and you'll be safe. You know, at the least we're going to flush the idol. And then worst case scenario, if they had played it, I had some votes on Geordie. So again, my vote was important. You know, it wasn't me just being told what to do. You don't see a lot of the stuff that goes on. I know that. Not defending it, but in terms of the semi vote, you know, she was still shocked. I know that their plan was to get her into jury. That was very clever. And what she did in there was phenomenal. You know, Sam and Mark won Survivor. Mark didn't win Survivor by himself. So yes, he did the last things to be able to put himself in the position to win, but my God, she did some work in there. And to this day, I still think she was shocked that she went. I don't think she was planning on going home that night. Mm. I think Josh also knew the numbers were going to be against us. We knew we were putting ourselves in danger and Mark was livid. Again, that was another little heated moment that those two had. And I said, just bring it in. Pull it together, you two. We're here still and we're three. You know, like we're thick. We've still got some pull here. And look what we did. You know, they could have eaten us alive, those pergs. You know, they could have come for us, all those singles, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I always shorten that because I'm still scared I'm going to get the word wrong.
I love pergs. We've had a lot of things, purgatory. I love the pergs. Let's just shorten it. I love it. So Australian.
Pergs it is.
Yeah. So you do come back and you are a fractured 3 of 7.
Yeah.
You do have the Purgafori who should be this group.
I know.
So how are you feeling in those dynamics? You're bringing them together again, but are you feeling like you can
we're in trouble.
Work well?
Yeah.
Felt in trouble. Mm.
No, I felt in trouble because, you know, even Mark looked at Josh and he's like, what have we done? You know, look, we've gone too early. We're in trouble. Because don't forget I'd screwed over Dave as well. Like I'd had a shocker there. So then you got these four talking and the Joker's in there, but we just kept our cool, Shan, and to this day, I give it credit and I froth it. We were so cool. We could have lost our heads, us three, but we just had each other's back so much and you guys didn't see it, so you would have presumed all these things were happening and that Chrissy's this idiot that did this. The calmness that those two brought made everyone else lose their heads. And then I was just the icing on the cake, fluttering in and out of the conversations, like it got executed well.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the spa award or lack of spa award, as we should say. Girls have a thing that you're going to go be able to be pampered, have this nice spa award. That's not how it works out. So, yeah,
wow.
Tell your feelings about this, because I said I was upset that we missed the iconic confessionals of you in a robe with a glass of champagne.
In a robe.
It's the gift creates itself. So we lost that and I'm upset about it.
All right, well, maybe I'll just go do one. I'll just film
it. Do it. Oh, my God, get in a robe, get some champagne, and then put up a video of you being like, you know, we're at the Spa Award. People will love that. You should do it.
All right, I'm going to do it. I'm not even kidding. I'm going to do it. I'll make a little area outside with a dodgy bar. I can see it now. I'll get the shell that my kids play in the sand in. Right, done.
Yeah.
Nah, look, at the end of the day, Shay gave us the letters. So she was an absolute sport. So, yeah, KJ had a right to be livid. I get it. She promised KJ. She did say to me she'd take me, but I just knew She was so bloody into Geordie and Josh. I knew she'd be thick as thieves with them. I didn't think I stood a chance. I thought it was all smack, the talk itself, but I did know that KJ was a shot. So it wasn't horrific for me to not go to that day spa as much as that is so my thing. I think the problem that I had was she gave up, and it annoyed me because I think she had hours left in her and she listened to Jord and then dropped KJ's little whatever they had, their little agreement. And I think that she got caught up in it and probably spent her money before she had it, because she could have outlasted absolutely those two and then made a choice without Geordie dictating, you know, because Geordie literally threw it to the wolves by making her win and then choose them. And then that put a real hard, you know, taste in KJ in my mouth. So Geordie was very clever with that. And then Shay just sort of took the bait and, you know, but good on them. I'm so glad they got a feed. They got some yummy food. They got cleaned up. And like Mark and KJ and I said as well, we didn't need to do that. We needed to keep our heads straight. We needed to be at camp. We needed to be remembering where we were and what we were doing it for. You know, that might have just, you know, relaxed them a little bit. I don't want to get too familiar with all the nice things that I was missing out on. So I was happy with that.
Mm-hmm. This is the first we're hearing of, like, the girls thing. You know, it would have been a girls award. It's later going to become this idea of a girls final three. We definitely hear KJ and Shay talking about it. Were you in on those discussions? Was it something you were thinking about? Yeah. And how much were you really considering
it? Yeah, we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Shan, it's tough because it's what I've had the most chat about. Like, why didn't you go final three? Do you realise what you did? You know, this is actually a thing. If you had it spoken before you wrote his name, you know, if you had have not written KJ's, you know, you could have been a significant chance. But I will say it till I'm blue in the face. I felt and played with the people that got me there. The whole game plan for me was to stay with a cool, calm head, you know, and play with my heart. And those two made me feel like we needed to be final three. If I'm going to lose to one of them, that's fabulous. I'm going to pray that my social game was better than Josh's. He can go with the strat and Mark is going to be the physical, but he's got blood on his hands. I had a theory. I remember saying to Josh and Mark, you know, we are final three. So the girls to me, because of what happens next as well. So the day spa thing was maybe a little red flag. Then they were having lots of chats without me. That was a little flag, saying that I didn't want to be involved. I still would have been involved. You'd never not have chats. It's just I didn't really get asked. So that's whether they think I was only in one headspace or what have you, but you still like being invited. It's like the kid that doesn't get invited to the party. Invite me, but I can't go, you know. And then I think just the last thing, the icing on the cake for me, was that they had supported the Mark vote. I chose Josh. I was taken out Mark and the girls didn't do it, and that just made me go, this is why I need to stay with my loyalties, because I got in my head, KJ and Shay are partners. Mark and Josh are partners. I'm the actual spare wheel. I'm the third wheel here. So I've got to get back to my roots. And that's why it was probably, in all honesty, it just wasn't a thing. And yes, do I lie in bed at night and think about it now? Yes, I do. But it's all good. If I was going to lose, you know, at the time it was going to be to one of those two.
Mm-hmm. Even before we get to the final five, through these votes where the three of you are keeping calm and getting some power back, you helped Josh in the challenge to win immunity, and later he's going to help you, I think a little bit less, but he still helps you in that ball challenge. So what was your kind of intention and strategy around this, and how did everyone react to that? Because it's a big showing, and I think it really showed how tight you guys were, I think the tightest relationship left in the game. So what was going on with, the helping in the challenge?
So you didn't see the one before. So I actually helped Mark with the ball drop.
Okay.
He had laid out the dominoes, and I actually did really well in that. I think I was probably one of the last three or four, and at the dying minute, my thing came down too fast, and I was really close, and lots of my things fell over. So I thought, there is no point in even running for this. And people go, Chrissy gave up all the time. Bullshit. You weren't there. You didn't see it. Don't be savage. You know, don't be savage on stuff you don't see. So I busted my ass. I was puffed as hell. I was running and I did do it well. I'm going to give myself a little bit of smoke for that. However, then I look over and Mark's dominoes on two of them were just too far apart and he was ready to drop. And I was like, stop, hold, hold. And Sammy heard it because she eyes up, you know, everyone looked. And he's like, I said, it's too big. You need five, because I'd worked out the hand span was about 5 centimeters, whatever. And he looked about 7 or 8. And I was like, don't drop it. And so finally he holds it, he runs back, he spaces, and sure enough, it bloody made it and it gets to the end. So I absolutely helped him in that. And that's when I launched on him. Remember at that challenge, and you see me jump because I literally felt like, oh my God, that this could have been different. And then again, there's one of my big soldiers, one of the warrior or the soldier needed to win that because we still had to get rid of some people. So as long as they were winning, I was winning. The puzzle thing, it's so controversial. I mean, I laugh about it now. I definitely helped Josh with maybe 2 pieces, 3 pieces. And then I reckon the rest of the time I was annoying him. I was like, get that bit across. What are you going to do with that? He's a puzzle king. He's jigsaw. He didn't need my help. He didn't ask for it. I wasn't cheating because I'd helped other people in other challenges. No one else in that position I needed to win more than Mark or Josh. And look, it didn't go down well. Mark was kind of cranky when we got back. Cranky because he lost, but probably cranky because I, you know, was heard helping Joshy, and it showed that in the edit. Geordie was pissed because, you know, he was doing really well in it. KJ and I were quite a far way back, so I don't think KJ ever stood a chance, but she's extremely good at puzzles, so she probably could have caught up. But I was, you know, everyone's like, oh, she's just copying and she's cheating and she's giving up. No, that's my alliance. Whatever it takes to get to the next day, I was fixated on final three. Of course I'm going to risk it. It wasn't like I was going to be able to do it. I can't even see the colour. I'm colourblind. So I can't even see the colours, let alone work out how to put the vertical up or across. It kept falling over. I got a couple of fluky bits, and then Jonathan sort of, you know, oh, hang on a minute, Chrissy's going to do something here. This is strategic. And I was like, hell yes, it's strategic. I need him to win. He was going to win without me. I'm not going to sit here and talk crap. He was going to win. He had it. He was on a roll. I was just reminding him, you know, I'm here for you. Here's a couple of pieces as well. I've helped Mark in one. Let's keep this even, you know, give it all you got sort of thing. So, yeah, it didn't go down well probably with the contestants. I don't think the fans liked it because they all said I was cheating. Some of the things that I've read were, you know, it shows her loyalty. She's obviously thicker than what we thought their relationship was. So, yeah, it's all good.
I like
that's all I can sort of say. Yeah. Mm. It sort of,
yeah.
To me as well, it reminded the other contestants, just so you know, we are definitely a thing. So if you're going to come for us, you know, be ready. I had a plan. I always had a plan, but it just didn't. Class clown Chrissy didn't get the the edit on that, so that's all right.
No, I mean, it's an interesting move. It's something a Survivor winner has done in the past, in US Survivor, in a kind of a similar challenge. It was a puzzle challenge, so it was similar to more to – I guess it was a combination of the puzzle and the Mar challenge with the ball, because it was about a ball rolling down and then having to kind of do the puzzle without the ball knocking something over, and he was kind of letting another player know when to, like, turn around. I didn't describe that very well. But, yeah, so the people have helped in challenges before. In Australian Survivor, I think there's even more leeway. George carried Wei through a challenge last season. So it's clearly something that is allowed and done. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that you were doing it. You're definitely not cheating. Like, it's something that is actively allowed, and verbally as you were doing it, it's done even in the US, so for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, they can take pieces of it and stuff. He even said to me, he goes, chill, I got it. And I'm like, no, you chill. Mm-hmm. You need to get this. Come on. Like, I was like his hype girl, but I probably annoyed him a bit, but that's our relationship. I drove him up the wall, and then when you see what it is and you don't see what we were, like, especially Mark as well. Mark and I were a little bit, but the three of us together, even you don't see Mark and Josh. Like, they're wildly funny together, quoting movies, ridiculously funny. The partnership between them was insane, and you didn't see it. You just saw serious, you know.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah, well, the three of you are keeping calm through this, but one of the things is that at the final 7 vote, you are part of a plan to at least flush an idol from Mark, finally get one of those idols out of the game, and then you vote for Geordie, and then on the re-vote, you vote for Dave. We did touch on this in the exit about how the Geordie vote was maybe like a little bit of confusion, but can you talk through this vote from your perspective?
No, not really. Can't you see my hand over my face? No, I talked through this because I don't know what happened. And say, Josh, oh, did you bloody was already thinking things and risking it then, because he'd told Geordie, Chrissy's untouchable, you know, you can't go there. And I don't remember for 1 second saying, oh, I'm going to do my own thing here. I'm going to go for Geordie. It is absolutely, to this day, my most embarrassing vote, because I can't answer you, Shan. And even Josh says, well, you're an idiot. What were you thinking? I only found this out on the night when he watched it. And I was like, I don't know. It's just, you must have miscommunicated the message to me. I don't know. Sorry. And he's like, that's when it started getting a bit dangerous for him, because I looked a little bit loose, but I don't know. Brain fart.
I love that it leads to a revote. It's like a super complicated vote. We're all trying to work it out. We don't know. We still don't know what was happening.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. You just say what you think happened and I'm going to go with that.
I just thought it was part of a double split. So we'll just say that that's what it was. It was Josh's usual KJ split.
Exactly. Absolutely. It's the double Josh KJ split move.
Yeah,
lock it down, Twitter.
Exactly. Here's me trying to work through and just get my note. No, I love it. Geordie's going to go. I feel like that was that vote. That just felt natural, like that was coming for a while.
Had to happen.
Even in
too
accidental
good.
Votes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I say it because he was so fun. I was addicted to Geordie. We had the best time out there. He's an absolute loose cannon. He annoyed me at jury, but for the foremost of every part of that game, I loved him. So that was a tough one for him to go. He was so respectful when he left. You know, he loved it. But it was a given. He was too good. He was getting such momentum. He was an absolute challenge beast. He was, you know, he was chasing that underdog, I need this. This is going to change my life sort of. And you talk about the mum strength. You want to talk about, you know, someone who's got 500 grand just there. That's some strength that you find as well. So he just was getting way too good. And, yeah, there's no surprises in that vote.
Well, we've spoken through the final five. Obviously, KJ and Shay have appealed to you. You make that emotional decision to turn on Mark 40 days later or so, well, you know, after what he did to you.
Yeah, I know.
But what kind of goes into the process for that? Because it's a huge departure for you, and it is a departure from what you had wanted to do, go with the boys. What was your thought process in that before we even get to seeing the votes come out?
So if I think back, I had chosen Josh because I needed Shay. Like, it would be silly for me not to think that Shay could assist me in getting to final three, because I knew she'd probably beat those two physically, you know, because I just knew her mental capacity. So I felt like I wanted the boys, but I needed Shay, and then, you know, I could choose the boys. So I feel like I had said, okay, well, here it is. If you're gonna lose, you want to lose to Josh because that's your fam, and, you know, if he wins, I win. If I win, he wins. So then I finally start playing, and I'm like, good God, you're nearly here. You're going to get respect if you play now. If you just, you know, think about this, you're actually a chance, because the others are going to take you no matter what. You just got to choose who you want to play with. So my theory was, all right, Tahi, I'll choose you as number one. That's what you've been for the game. Mark's going to exit, and then, you know, it's probably going to be Shay or what have you in cage. So in my head, and I still stand by it, the girls' pitch was enough for me, because in my head I'm thinking they know I'm probably not going to vote Josh. If it would had to be one or two, I couldn't even split Mark and Josh to one or two. It had to be like 1A and 1B. That's how hard it was for me. And you can see how I felt by just the interviews and stuff. Like, it was really, really hard. And I thought, okay, dig deep. Mark gave you one. Let's go with him. You know, the girls are on board. If you can take out Mark and take out the powerhouse, there's a massive move for your resume. It's at the end of the game. He's set to win this. His strat's incredible. And then my theory was, we go back to camp. Josh praises me and says, unbelievable. You know, you've chosen me, obviously. Right, let's talk about this. Who are we gonna take? Who do you want to do? Because then there would have been two votes. You know what I mean? And then I dare say that we probably would have hoped that Shay didn't win and taken KJ. However, when we got back, after I wrote Mark and then I realised what had happened, I had my nose out of joint, so of course I'm going to go for KJ, because my ego was busted thinking that the girls were something and Mark and Josh were something and I wasn't on any of it. So hang on a minute, I'm the ring in. So then we go back to camp and the boys are like, you guys just cooked that. And the way they said it, I was like, oh, how embarrassing, you know, like. And they just kept saying it. They were like, God, what a shocker. What happened? Josh sort of got a bit fixated on Chrissy threw me under the bus by voting for Mark because he would have been the next person to go. Whereas I was like, no, if we go back and Josh finds me and pitches to me who it's going to be, we're going to be number one, two, and we choose the third. Or if it goes pear-shaped and he's pissed off, I go with the girls and I take, you know, the three girls to the final. Mm-hmm. So I had two theories, but I trusted my relationship with him, even though we were a bit shady the day before and not as close. I trusted that he may just be so frothing that I had chosen him by putting Mark's name down first, frothed it and gone, right, what the hell are we going to do? But it didn't happen like that. And to be fair, from that moment on, it was a shit show because he came back, him and Mark had the giggles. They hurt my ego by saying, you guys cooked it. You've had a shocker or something like that. How did you stuff that up? There's three of you and two of us and we're massive threats. And I was a bit embarrassed. I remember going to bed going, God, what an idiot. What have I done? Like, they're taking the piss nearly. And then so that put me a bit on my back foot. And then Josh was really cranky about it because I think he thought that I was just going to be a given to take the girls to the final, whereas I just never in my wildest dreams would think that he'd think that because we were just us, you know. Mm-hmm. So then I think he was a little bit cooked as well, and then he got that in his head. I was fixated on final three no matter what. I just wanted to get to the three so my kids could get up to Jonathan, mm-hmm. get to meet him, and it made it worth it, you know, because I'm being really realistic by now and thinking I'm an actual shot to pitch, you know.
Yeah, so you do the next challenge, which is the final four challenge. You get the phone call. You seem to say that the phone call was like a big deal for Josh.
For me.
Yeah,
big time. Because here we are. I've got my warrior. I've got my soldier. I've got my little yoga local bestie. You know, by now we've been together long enough to have a friendship as such out there. She's a local, lives near me. I'm standing next to three absolute physical threats who are my family, my survivor family. I'm looking at them, we're crying, we're in the final four, we're walking out to the challenge, and then they go, wake up, you four. Your family's on the phone. You've been without them for 8 weeks. This is who you're playing for. Pull your heads in, sort of thing. And I felt like it was literally at me because here I am. I'd lost my head. I'm loyal to these guys. I'm thinking that they're my family and, you know, like I am a very emotional heart kind of, even my hubby said, because he was never going to choose money over, you know, a relationship with someone. I just haven't been brought up like that. Yes, it's 500 grand. I'm not saying that I don't need 500 grand. Everyone does. But I have morals in other areas that mean more to me. You know what I mean? So my hubby's already said it before, you know, she'd never want bad blood over money. You know, you can get money another way, I guess. So then when we got out to the mat, and this bloody mobile phone's looking at me, I'm like, oh, my God, stop, reset. If you're going to win this, you've got to do this for the kids right now. And that just, I should have lasted about 2 minutes in that challenge because I'm scared of heights. So to start with, I had to get, you know, I was whinging and carrying on like an idiot because I couldn't fathom that I was looking down at this water. It wasn't that I was in pain. It was the height to get me out there to do it. And then when I looked over at Shay and stuff, I'm looking at her going, she's literally doing ballet. She was doing stretching positions, and I look at Mark and he's in a mental, you know, 3 seconds on, 3 seconds off. I've got Josh with a shoulder injury. I can see him shaking and I'm like, I'm out of here. This is ridiculous. I'm not a chance in hell. So then I go. And then at that point when Josh went, I was like, oh my God, he must know that he's, you know, definitely going to have to do one hell of a pitch to me because I've just had this call from my kids. Do I choose Josh? Mm-hmm. You know, after what's happened, or do I actually, you know, choose Mark, who's got, you know, I could probably consider, I'm still hoping that Mark's got blood on his hands and that the jury's going to be cranky at him. And can I talk Shay under the table? Maybe, you know, like I was just waiting for this big moment because when Josh didn't win, I knew that his heart fell out of his guts. You know, he lost his head over it because he knew that he was in trouble. And then when Shay won it, the boys both knew that they were in trouble, you know.
So how much weight do you give to each of these things? As the fact that Josh comes back from that vote and he isn't being, you know, great to you and he's not reconciling with you on that and he's angry at the fact that you voted for Mark. There's the fact that you get the phone call. There's the fact of what you're thinking from a jury perspective. Like, yep. What kind of weight do you give to all of those things in making your decision? What was leading the decision for you to turn on Josh?
Yeah, see, There were just so many things. So I had already felt a little bit funny with Josh, and we'd never really talked straight. We just sort of were us, you know, we were just a thing, and we'd just talk and we'd pass things by each other. It was never serious. So we'd had a serious talk and I didn't love it because I just wanted to talk with him, not be, it wasn't enough for me to be cranky. Then I guess coming back to camp after the KJ shocker, that kind of hurt my ego a little bit. I pulled a bit back then. And then you get the phone call and you remember why you're out there. And yes, I love those guys, but my family, you know, my kids are back here without their mum. So there's all these things are pending. The problem we had was we walked back into camp and I'm thinking, all right, mate, let's pull this together. You know, we're going to have to take out Mark. We'll get Shay on board. Let's do this. If you can preach it and peg it to me hard, you know, you're still my number one out here. Let's do it. If you win, I win. This is what's in my head. And the little bugger, he pulls Mark first. Mm-hmm. So I must have gone and put my bag down. And because we were always together, I just put my bag down and sort of put my head up. And I remember looking over at the producers and I'm like, where? Shay's there. Where's Mark and Josh? And they're like, oh, they've gone for a chat. And I went, who? And then I realised that, you know, Josh had pulled Mark and they'd walked off for a chat. And I was like, oh, shit, what do you mean he's pulled him first? That was a big red flag because he'd normally grab me. So then when he'd finish with Mark, I'm thinking in my head, all right, he's going to come back and get me within 2 seconds. And as we're walking back into camp, Mark just goes, I need you now. We're going to go and have a chat. And I'm like, oh, and I'm looking at Josh. I'm like, what are you doing, Tahi? Where are you going? What, you know, and so then he sort of just walked with Shay and I'm walking with Mark. And don't forget I've written Mark's name, so I'm still a bit embarrassed. And I'm like, oh, God, this is awkward. Sorry. Don't be angry. You know, because I'm still thinking I'm going to do Mark. I've got to get this bloody move. Or am I going to do Josh and blow everyone's socks off and take the captain out? You know, is he going to get redemption and win me back? And Mark just sits down and goes to me, all right, this is how it is. Josh is pitching you. We're all loading on you. But I need you to know I'm going to write Josh's name. And I just knew he wasn't lying. And I look to my left and my right and I'm like, what are you talking about? I was shook to the core. I'm like, did he seriously just say to you in that short time that he's going to vote for me? And I was so upset. I was gutted. I couldn't believe it that he, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was so shocked. And then I was like, yep, that's it. Yep, I knew. And we've been shady with each other for a couple of days. This is definitely a thing. We're both seeing it, so it's on. And then Mark says to me, the absolute killer, whether he's a trade professional speaker or he's actually a really nice guy, he said, regardless of what you do, you are going to be my friend when we leave Survivor. So just know that if you vote for me, I'm okay with that. If you don't vote for me, I'm okay with that. He said, this is big, it's a game, and I've played this game how I wanted to play differently to the last time. You're important to Josh maybe to do that. And because we were on different pages, you know, we have to wonder if that was the thing that threw us, you know, through the game for both of us to win it. But at the end of the day, he thought I was, you know, going. I thought he was going. Mark's pitch was unbelievable to me. I definitely bought it. Shay had said that the boys were going to probably fight it out, but she was under the impression that Josh was going for me. And then all I could think in my head was if I change my vote and I send these guys to fire, if I've got these two votes, I'm going to fire. I'm going to be shit. I'm not going to get to the three. I've done this all for nothing and my guts is turning. So I just went with my instincts and horrifically with every last bit of my hate towards myself at the time, I had to write his bloody name. And that was really tough because you guys hadn't seen, I guess, that it wasn't just this 1 second Josh turned on me and I turned on him. Like it had been a couple of days, but it was a bit funny, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter now, but we sort of laughed about it and thought, God, if we just hadn't cooked it at the end there, we had each other, you know, we were writing top three to each other in the sand and stuff, you know, from the early days. How did we wreck it at the end? But, you know, sometimes it's not wreck, it's just old Survivor, isn't it?
Yeah, the internet had a lot of feelings about the fact that Josh was angry that you had turned on him when he'd often turned on you, and he has explained and he said in jury villa that, you know, he was upset that you turned the vote before and that he felt that you were kind of coming to him and he was getting hints early, like in the challenge from the phone call stuff. So where do you sit with that? Do you feel like you turned at the same time or even after based on the way that, you know, he was acting and clearly that was a big part of it for you, or do you understand his position of, he already felt that you'd change, and that's why he kind of made that flip.
Yeah, I think that's what, because I read all that as well, and I was like, no, it wasn't like that. We would walk around holding hands. I was sleeping next to him. Like, we were debriefing. We were talking. I was really, really trusting and confident in our relationship. And then as those last votes started coming in and the group got smaller and you kept getting reminded about your family, yes, my thoughts definitely changed. I'm thinking Josh is going to have so much more pull on this jury. They loved him. Everyone loved him. Plus he had the baby news. Australia's going to love this guy. You know, how can they not? He's just the best ever. And presuming on the edit what I thought Josh was going to get, you know, this is, you guys didn't see how unbelievably awesome he was. So to me, the little changes were so massive in our relationship out there. You know what I mean? Like, what I saw in little changes in him that nobody would have seen is because we were closer than what anyone saw. So it would have looked weird that we were both turning on each other in 2 minutes. Well, it wasn't 2 minutes. It was 48 hours, which is a long time out there. So yes, I felt him being a bit more strat and cranky and tired and getting closer to the prize and thinking of his family. And then I was doing that on top of that. The problem that I have and where I think he went before me was that I thought he was going to be really happy with me for writing Mark. Mm-hmm. And when we got back to camp, he wasn't. It was the opposite. He thought I'd dogged him, mm-hmm. and that I'd thrown him under the bus as such. And I couldn't understand how he didn't see, no, I chose you, like, you're coming with me. Who do you want to take? Who are we going to go with here? Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, it is what it is, and lots of things were happening. Like, we're only human. He said it and I've said it. You make decisions out there based on lack of sleep. There is so much more to it, you know what I mean? And you're missing home. You're missing your family, your partner. You're missing everything. So you're cooked. That's what we call it. We were absolutely fried out there. So then in terms of Josh, you turned on, how could you write that and be so mad at her? Yes, he was mad. Yes, he was emotional. Yes, he had a resting bitch face and jury. Yes, he looked really angry and stuff. But also in his defense, it wasn't just 2 seconds. And I was just as going for him as he was for me, I guess. I just think that I would have been a better choice not to go for him when I think about it, because I just think, yeah, like if he was actually playing, he definitely should have gone me and Shay, because he would have iced us. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I think he might have not been thinking just as much as I wasn't. I don't know. But in terms of us, yeah, we definitely drifted. We drifted for sure.
Yeah, I think it's that Mark vote, because you saw it as such an expression of loyalty, like you've chosen him and he saw it as a departure.
Oh, I had a shocker.
From the three. So, you know, even though you've gone out of your way to choose him, even at the revote. So, yeah, I think that might be the disagreement, and the audience kind of will see that in their own way. But had he come back after the phone call, even after the marketing, had he come back from the challenge and decided he was just going to go all in with you to maybe go to fire against Mark, which is not the best proposition for anyone who's seen Mark make fire, but had he done that and just gone straight to you and been like, we are locked in, would you think that you
would have gone with him? Yeah, 100. We were definitely a little bit weird, but that's all it took. Mark got me because he went deep. And you know what? To this day, Jordan, Josh's cousin, I think Jordan would even agree that Josh socially missed that cue. So Jordan was a bit more social. Josh was definitely, you know, physical and strategic, but Jordy just had a tiny bit on him. And I reckon it would have taken Josh to go, I know it's your family. We're both thinking about, I'm thinking about my unborn, you're thinking about your three, you know, we're thinking about our partners. We're still here, but we're family. Now we're family as well, let's have a crack. But because it didn't happen like that, then I was like, nah, you're dead to me. Like, it cut me. It cut me like the way KJ cut me for not voting for Mark. I get scarred easily. So I think maybe even walking back, I was still proud of myself that I'd chosen him. But it didn't come off that way, and it might have been my body language, or, you know, like, I don't know, we weren't even really talking that much, so he might just not have even considered that that was what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you found it really hard, and we see the emotions in the moment, the next night. Like, obviously this was, you know, probably one of, I mean, Croc left, so that was hard, but other than that, probably the most difficult moment of the game for you.
Oh, big time. And Mark and I had a cry. Like, we were shook. We got back to camp, and I don't think we even ate that much. Like, we just couldn't believe it wasn't us three. And Shay winning, I say it to her, with all respect, she wasn't meant to win. You know what I mean? Like, She wasn't in the final three plan. Of course, she was going to win. She was unbelievable, but she just kept winning in the lead up to it. So she just sealed her spot. And then here we were, us three had to take each other out. Like, it was horrific. It's so sad because, you know, we were such a thing and you guys didn't see it. And that's why it probably does look weird. But, you know, and that's what's been hard for me coming out of Survivor. I was a virgin going in and I've come out and had to deal with, you know, this show that you're on and you have these connections with people and you have this weird fantasy that it's going to be your Survivor family outside and you come back and you go, oh, no, that's right. That was just something that I did for a little while. And, you know, you just have to detox out of it. But to have to come back to camp, and we were sitting there just like, oh, my God, how did we send him home? Like, he's our family. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was just intense. And you don't even have 5 seconds to process it. You're waking up the next day and you're at the final brekkie. Like, mm-hmm. It's just savage. It's just not how I do things.
Yeah, I mean, definitely an emotional roller coaster because we've spoken a lot about the final tribal council. What were you going into the final tribal council hoping to express to the jurors? Like, obviously, your incredible social game, but what did you really want them to leave knowing about the pros of your game?
Oh, look, going in there, so I had to live with the Josh vote. I'm thinking, okay, let's pray that Sam hasn't worked too much magic and everyone remembers what they did and they're still a bit cranky. Let's hope that people consider Shay's physical side absolutely wonderful. You know, well done to her, but she didn't have the other two. And let's hope that they saw me as not just a friend but someone that picked up the game and played socially and was nice and had no blood on my hands and, you know, had a real crack at it and adapted to the environment. I was, you know, I was only losing those challenges at the end to the biggest people. I was losing, like, I came fourth in that bloody fireball throwing one, Shan. Like, I was beating everyone except literally an SAS soldier, Jordan, a friggin' PT athlete, mm-hmm. jiu-jitsu king, and Shay, a yoga instructor. Like, here I am having significant cracks at all these challenges, doing stuff that I grew. Like, I feel like every part of my game grew strategically a little bit. So I just sort of thought, let's round it up a little bit. And, you know, of course, Mark was a domineering three-part winner, but maybe they'll respect a little bit of my growth. But look, I was delusional. It was never going to happen. If it was a different jury, everyone's saying to me, if it was a different jury, you know, what if? It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. They were livid. They didn't respect anything really that I'd done out there. They were cranky as hell. So what I thought was going to happen and what happened were two different things. What you saw and what I remember are two different things, but this is Survivor. It's all the element of surprise. It made for a great show. I had the time of my life. I guess I just wanted Australia. My final pitch, when I realised that they weren't smiling and they weren't happy to see me sitting in that chair, I just put my big girl undies on and went, suck it up, princess. This isn't going to be pretty, but what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and look like an idiot? Are you going to crumble? Are you going to be intimidated by how cranky they are and how jealous they are that you're sitting here? Or do you want to just have one final crack at it? You practice your speech. You talk to kids every single day. Just put it on the line. Don't leave anything out. Remember what you stood for. And that's exactly what I did. I dug in to some of their personal stuff. I lost my head for the Josh thing because that was a lot. I reminded them all of things and times that we'd had together. And I just was praying that if I wasn't the class clown just for once and the one that sort of always got the giggle, that I actually did do this for a reason and I was this far in the game because I did do something right. Maybe I'd get a couple of votes and I only needed four. I'd worked it out what numbers were needed and kind of thought of a couple of them. If they could oversee a couple of other things, maybe I'd grab their votes. But, yeah, no. It's Survivor. Don't be silly. Need to be on a different show for that kind of emotion.
Who were the votes that you were mostly wanting to get, like, before you went to the final tribal council?
So before I went there and realised how bad it was going to be, I actually had myself ticketed way too high. Like, I wanted Jordan and Josh badly because I had said that, you know, my moves were for me, like, respect me. I definitely wanted Khan, but I knew I probably wouldn't get him because he respected the game so much. I had a fat time with Geordie out there. We had some really, really good times and I always respected him and listened to him and I never lied to him. So I thought maybe he would be my bestie. KJ, I definitely wanted a vote off because, you know, we were these mums out there battling and Mark hadn't been very loyal to her at the end. I was nice to Michelle and Mel. Like, I just feel like I what I thought was going to happen. I didn't think I'd win, but I definitely thought that I'd get a little bit of respect. And what went down are so two different things. That's why it was so shocking, so traumatic, because I just read the room so badly.
Yeah, I mean, I guess every jury chooses their own kind of context and how they want to look at things and kind of like their framework for what they're going to vote for. And had they voted on the framework you were thinking of like who was the nicest to me, who did I have the most fun with, like you get 10 votes, you know, and they were just voting on a different framework, which turns it so the other way around. It's not every jury that votes that way, but it is about, you know, kind of what the mentality is. Usually it's quite a group mentality. Obviously, it can be individual. But yeah, there are people who definitely juries that vote. They don't like the people that have been more strategic, maybe more actively strategic, because that's something that's been against them and they don't like that. There are definitely juries. Sandra's second jury who voted for her because they liked her the most. They felt that she, you know, they just socially connected with her way, way more. And they felt that at least she was advocating for them in part. So yeah, I mean, juries are way different just depending on what the makeup of people are. So I think it's
okay. I didn't. All right. That's interesting. Yeah. Because people have said to me, you know, if you had a little bit of a different jury that weren't so super fan, and maybe the fact that Blood vs. Water was this series and you had blood in there fighting for their blood that was on the final three pitch. Mm. So there were a few things that people said, but I just, in my head, this is Survivor. They decided I was a goat. That's all they could see, and none of them could even fathom throwing us just a sway, just a one to say, you know what? You know, I even thought in my darkest moments of just looking at them all, Dave could be just a maybe. She really grew out there. You know, she took on some of this and she took this challenge on hard and she looked after this person. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't bother me now. I'm so much stronger now and I don't care. It is a TV show. It's done. But at the time, yeah, I had a shocker.
Well, it's interesting to even think, like, even if Josh had gone a little earlier in some other way and had been able to get over it earlier, but then had also been able to show parts of your game that you did with him, or Mark, like the way Mark has campaigned for your game in some of the interviews and talked about how pivotal you were to those social interactions. Had Mark gone in the Sam spot, for example, and then Sam doesn't make it there, is he kind of advocating for parts of your game that other people didn't get to see? But he's sitting next to you, obviously, so he can't do that. I just wonder if maybe there could have been people in other spots who could have, you know, not when they're like, you can get on their level. That's what Sam was able to do by going to the jury. Like, we're all jurors together. We're all on the same level. Let's talk it out. Let me be able to show you parts of this game. But you know, you're not on the same level when you're a finalist versus on the jury. They don't see you in that way. They want to be able to get their pound of flesh. But if someone had been able to go to the jury, like Mark, for example, and say, hey, as a juror, let me tell you a little bit what Chrissy was doing from within our alliance, they might have heard that out from someone who was kind of in their group in the jury. So you just, you know, never know kind of how it shifts there with those dynamics.
You never know.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, that what you said then, that really hit me hard, because I feel like even if Josh had gone earlier and had, you know, the guy had 12 hours, he just about made pitch, he would have won it. He just about makes pitch. His best friend takes him out. You know, and I didn't take him out, thank you. Everyone voted. It wasn't just me. But I was a vote as such. So here's a guy who hasn't slept, he's angry, and he has said when he got in there, they were practicing their speeches. They were writing heavy, hard-hitting stuff. So he got swept up perhaps in it, maybe, if he had a bit more time. I mean, he's a pilot. Like, he's the most controlled person you'll ever meet. You know what I mean? Like, that's what made me want to hang out with him. He was so chill. So if he had have maybe had some sleep, some food, some chill, and not that intense environment, and a couple of days breather, maybe he could have gone. No, we had a freaking great time out there. You know, I probably could have given it a sway to one, but what does that matter? It doesn't matter now, does it? That couldn't happen. Mark couldn't have been my advocate. And, you know, if I took the girls, maybe that could have been different as well. But the what ifs aren't big enough for me to be sad about. You know, this is the best ride of my life. I've had the fattest time ever, and I'm so thankful that Prop chose me and that Channel 10 took me on board, and I got to meet these people and, you know, your fans, and most of the stuff I read, you know, had a bit of a laugh for it as well. So I'm so happy.
I mean, you got the fans' vote. And actually, in other seasons, in the US, for example, they used to do, like, a fan favorite vote. It's hard to think who else would have got it if not you. Like, I feel like you would have thrown that up. So that should count for something, even though it didn't actually, you know, there used to be money attached to that. It was a whole thing. And that's not what we have here. But
can you make me a certificate?
Yeah. Let's do that. You know what? I'm not going to. But I often put stuff out on the podcast and someone else will do it. So will someone who is listening, someone who's great at graphic design, please put it on Twitter. Give Chrissy a fan favorite certificate that she can print out. Someone who's way better at graphic design than me. I'm putting the call out there and we're going to get answers back, Chrissy. People will do it. So thank you in advance, whoever does that. I will retweet it and I will enjoy it. So definitely make Chrissy a certificate because we're going to do it. But, you know, I want to talk about coming back from that and recovering from it. But before that, your daughters come, Croc comes, you know, you get to meet JLP for your daughters, which is nice. I was like, hey, Croc,
and you know what was COVID?
Yeah.
I know, remember Croc?
Yeah.
And so COVID was a thing. So in my head, you got Sammy's hairs and little Haz on a screen. So I'm like, bugger, they're not going to get here.
Mm.
And then I've got, is Queensland gone into lockdown again? What the hell's happening? Mm. And then Mikey's parents come and they're Perth and I'm like, oh no, I'm not certain here.
Mm.
And then I knew that my hubs, like, actually, that's something that we probably should have a bit of a laugh about because people still think I'm a single adoptee parent of three just because, like, so my hubby just said from day one, you will not get me on the TV show. No one will see my face. Don't be putting me in an article. This is your thing. I don't need this in my work of life, the line of work that he does. So he is actually a thing. I do have a husband because Twitter went, is Chrissy single? What the hell's the matter with this woman? Where's your husband?
My number.
I do have a husband.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a thing? Is she with Croc now? That was the creepiest one.
So
no, I'm not with Croc. And yes, I have a husband who is the father of my children and he's the best. So yes, that's fine. But he was there. He just didn't come out. And then of course the girls ran out, which was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's still so cute. That gets my heart rate up. So them coming out was insane because I couldn't believe how much I needed them right at that second because the frying that we just got and the hate that was felt from what I'd just been through, it was absolutely erased by seeing their little faces. They were so proud. My big one was shocked because obviously I'd lost weight and I was pretty dark and my eyes were pretty sunken and I just looked different. My hair was grey. So my big one got a real fright and she hugged me and said, I don't want you to hug me too much because she was really shook and then that upset me so much, but you don't feel that. My middle one's just like, you're the best thing in the world, Mum. I can't believe that you're my mum. So that threw me for an eight.
Oh.
And then my little one, she just wouldn't let go. She just would not get off my hip. She's like a little monkey. So she said, I'm not letting you go. You said you wouldn't go that long and you did. So I'm not going to let you go. So I had all that in my ear. Mark's winning. Croc's then, I don't even know that it's Croc. And I hear him go, Auntie. And I just lost my head. I'm like, I can't believe you're here. So that there, that's the win for me, Shan. Lulu got to look Jonathan in the eyes and reiterate how much that man over the season helped me get through by his charming looks. So then my daughter, just knowing his name, just cracked me up so much. So he asked her a question and she got to take that for show and share. So, yeah, look, it's a big deal to get to final three. I'm so happy that they got to get up there and experience what I'd been at and got to see where I'd been because how do you tell your kids where you were until it comes on, you know, and then they have to watch an edited version of it. But, you know, that they've frothed it. I'm a teacher of, you know, 3,000 students. I've got a massive, massive, massive family and a massive extended family of lots of kids, you know, that I was worried about at first, but it's been nothing but perfect, you know, in their eyes. So that's all I wanted. I am the winner, Shan. In my eyes, I am the winner.
And the winner of that certificate that someone's going to make. So the most precious thing, for sure, fan favorite, which I truly believe, like, you know, is just true. Like, I'm only saying it because you would have been fan favorite. You deserve the US $100,000 that was that prize for, like, several seasons in the US, which we just don't have, and that is an outrage.
Damn!
Yeah. You mentioned your daughter, you know, wanting to see JLP. This was something that was missed from the edit, but was like a big part of, like, it was in like the secret scenes on Template, and I wish was a bigger part of the show because it was so funny. But like your love for JLP and like your crush, I would say, on JLP, that was a highlight. Like, are there any stories that you can tell us about that?
Oh my God, he hates me. I was an absolute nightmare. So he's not normally my type. I kind of like a bit of a different type to JLP, but because of Underbelly and because he was so good in Underbelly, to me, that was his celebrity life. So then when I realized it was him as the Survivor host, I just lost my head because I couldn't believe these people were so cool, calm and collected. But they've watched him over the season. So for me, every time he spoke, I couldn't even breathe. Like, it was so funny that this huge celebrity, because he was the biggest celebrity I've ever met, you know, probably besides Croc, in my life. So I'm looking at this guy and he's like, "So Chrissy," and I'm like, "What do you mean? How do you know my name? And then how do you know stuff about me?" That's just absurd to me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just so funny. So then when we're out there, it sort of gained a bit of momentum and Khan gave me a hard time about it. And everyone would sort of be like, "Have a look at him today, Chrissy." And I sort of, you know, I really milked it a little bit, but the poor guy, because he knew that I was a screw loose and I would say inappropriate things all the time. And, you know, I just remember him looking at cameras like, she can't even say that, can she? And they were just like, "Oh, God, she said it this long, just leave her." I just couldn't filter it because I remember saying, like, he should take – oh, in one challenge I said, "Yeah, I'm up there sweating," and I'm like, "You should take your shirt off, Jonathan, because I don't want you to be hot. Like, you get yours off and see how you go." And the cameras would just be like, "Oh, Jesus." You can't say that to him because he's pretty straighty 180. And I remember in the final challenge, I feel like I finally broke him because I started playing a game. I said, "Can we play cat or dog, you know?" And he's like, "Not really, but, you know, we're going to be up here a while, so if it's going to distract you for a bit." So I remember saying, "All right, ice cream or lollies?" And he's like, "Ice cream." And I'm like, "Cat or a dog?" And he'd say the answer. And then I'm like, "Brunettes or blondes?" And he'd be like, "No, Chrissy, we're not going there." And the other three, you know, the other three contestants are probably thinking, "Shut the frig up, we're trying to concentrate." You know, but I just needed to have my final moment with him because I couldn't break him for the whole season. But even at Tribal, he would get a bit cross at me because I would get the girly giggles instead of answering the question. And then I'd have to say to him, "Jonathan, please, just, I promise, just ask it once more and I'll answer it properly." Like, I was just, I lost my head. But yes, look, he's definitely a lovely man and I'm very blessed to have had 8 weeks with him. I don't think he'd say the same. I certainly think he was happy to wrap the show up this season because the Chrissy Stalker got to leave him alone.
Look, he should be so lucky to have you crushing on him. So I think, you know, JLP, get it together, you know. Both have married people as far as I know, but it would have been hilarious for our entertainment. So that's what we should have seen on the show. You know, we've talked about the last couple of weeks. But what has been your experience more generally in coming back from that? And you said it took you a while to recover from how hard the Final Tribal Council was. You're watching it back. You've talked about the fans, who I think mostly gave you a lot of love, and some of them are just strange. So, you know, some of that response.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's a long journey over months and months of, like, waiting and watching it back. And then you only find out the day of, like, what the result is at the production lunch that Mark discussed with me. So what is that whole experience and that roller coaster been like for you?
Yeah, like the wrap up, I guess. So I think just coming out, I was in a bubble and I was quite in a bit of a Stockholm syndrome state, you know, like my captors had released me back to the world and I just wasn't ready for it. So I was sleeping outside and I couldn't eat much. My stomach had turned and I ended up, you know, chowing down on beans and rice for a fair while when I got out because I was quite shook by the whole thing. And you sort of, 1 minute you're hanging off a ledge and the next minute you're making beds and vacuuming and getting your kids off to school and hubby's off to work. So it was quite a reality check for me. I feel like I wanted to stay in the reality TV world in my reality life, and those two worlds can't collide. So I was holding on to a bit of a dream that, you know, everything that happened on Survivor was going to just keep happening and we were all going to keep partying and we were all going to hang out and we'd fix all our relationships and everyone was happy little buggers, and it didn't work like that. There was some things that went down and I had to come back and have a bit of a slap in the face with a wet fish to try and wake me back up again. And then with some help, I kind of got the guy that was talking to us a fair bit when we were out there, you know, he just brought home a few things and it was really good. And then I just, you know, I released Survivor a little bit and focused in on the things that were important and maybe the relationships that were the most important to me and salvaged those, and then hung out, you know, with my old life as such and my new life of Survivor people. And then I integrated them, which was amazing because my friends who had missed me and I was a bit different got to meet the people that I was with and who changed me. So that was a really nice blend of, we've had some big dinner parties up here and, you know, and then, you know, the ending happens and you wrap it up and you go back to life and then they go, all right, guys, it's going to be aired in February. And you lose your head because you think, all right, what's it going to look like? What's this going to feel like? And then everything gets brought back up and you've got to remember it all again. And then there's things in there that you see that you forgot that happened. And then there's the good times that you then remember and you want to feel that again, but you can't because it's not the same. So it is the most wild thing ever. It's unbelievable to me even still now, and I'm a week out. We then watch it. We, you know, talk about it and debrief to each other. And all in this time, you've still got the fans and your friends saying, you won it. We've watched it. You've bloody won this. Like this, you're a shot. And I knew it was 10-0. I'm not stupid. I worked it out real quick. Shay knows that it was 10-0. Marky was, you know, so humble that he never once said it was 10-0. He never even said that it was him, the winner. So to me, you know, that was something that had to happen, the final four lunch and that weekend to hang out and actually go back to the memories of that night. That was really tough. And then to watch the Josh exit, that was really tough because that was a big episode to happen and we were all together for that, so that's kind of cool. And then the finale lunch where they tell us and I was like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me Mark won? Like I was taking the piss and they thought that was pretty funny. So, you know, so, and then you come home and then just when you think that's enough, well, of course, everyone in the world, especially in my little community, has seen it. So then you're instantly somebody in the community. So you're back on this false sense of, you know, you're kind of not just Chrissy stay-home mum teacher. You're this chick that was on TV that everyone thinks that they know and want to stop and chat to and talk about and give you their opinions on. So you're exhausted, Chan. Like, I'm absolutely cooked. I've been, you know, flying around and in and out of airports and people grab your time and photos, and that's good. I love it that they loved it and that the feedback is phenomenal. I have so much more love than hate. I've been so blessed. But in terms of just Survivor and wrapping it up and what it was, you know, I will say forever, I had a killer edit. I had the best time out there. I met some sick people and I hope they're in my life forever, and I wouldn't change a thing. You know, people have said, do the what ifs, do the three girls, do the change of your final. No, I'm not going to change it because what it was superb. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, now I just go back to see what else is around the corner, and I've got a sneaky feeling that there could be anything happening, you know? You just don't know.
Yeah, what is it now? I feel like if you're not having your own radio show in the next couple of months, then every radio producer in Australia has failed at their jobs. Like, I feel like how can everyone not want to hear from you every day? Like, there has to be something that comes from this that puts you just, like, on a national platform.
No way, I'm annoying.
What? No, well, I mean, I hope not over 3 hours into this podcast. But no, like, definitely, you should be a presenter. You should be a host. You should be in people's ears, on people's screens. Like, people loved you. The screen loves you. There has to be something coming up, I feel, that continues that momentum.
Oh, I like it. Let's see, Shan. I like what you're putting out there. Let's manifest something, because I definitely have tapped into a side of me, you know, that I put to sleep for a while, so... You know, you take on the mum role and you step out of being a bit of a class clown and being that Chrissy that I was for so many years, you know, growing up and even teenager and then into your 20s and then 30, you're like, oh, no, I've got to fill this mum role. You know, I'm meant to be this caring, providing. You sort of put yourself a little bit out, you know, like you don't lose yourself, but other things are more important. You know, you're definitely the last on the list. So then, you know, you've got to think that when you do something like this, maybe there is, now that my kids are a bit older, time to do something else or look into something else, but we'll just see. I don't have any unrealistic expectations. I'm very happy with my life. I like how it is at the moment. I'm kicking goals and, you know, we'll see what's around the corner. Shan, you will be the first to know, though. Let's do a little deal right now.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I feel like if anything, Survivor's going to want you back. Like, that's definitely happening. Would you play again?
Oh, man, this is the $500,000 question. I don't know. It's so hard to think how could I do better. Like, yes, I could win $500,000. That's fabulous. That's how I could do better. But what if you go back and you're Andy? Like, what if everyone takes me out because they know that I have a bit of a social game and maybe I've learned? Like, imagine going back and being a dud. That kills me to even think about it. So I'm not going to say no because I want that call, but then maybe... Then we can maybe talk because Channel 10's got a lot of TV shows. Maybe my Survivor stint has been exhausted, but, you know, I'm not saying no yet.
For sure. I want to see you on all the Channel 10 shows. Probably not The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. I mean, it would be boring, no, but your husband wouldn't love that, I don't think. But what else do we have? MasterChef? Yeah.
I like Gogglebox.
Oh, my God. Gogglebox. That's it. But then you have to be on with your husband and your family. Like, that's it.
And I don't feel like I'd be me. Like, I feel like they see me and I drive them up the wall. Like, we might have to pull on some. JLP could do Gogglebox with me, couldn't he?
That would be such good TV. You and JLP watching TV. I would watch that. I don't watch Gogglebox right now, but I would watch that.
Oh, poor JLP. I really need to let that name go. It's in my repertoire. Too much. How embarrassing.
Well, Chrissy, we got some questions from the listeners.
Okay.
We got so many questions. I picked out a few because there were so many great ones. Little Waffle on Twitter asked, seeing as you learned Survivor on the fly and knew nothing about it beforehand, what was the most unexpected part of the whole experience for you?
I just did not think that you really didn't have access to anything. I thought once the cameras went off, it was a bit of a piss take. And you get some things because I don't understand how you don't have a pillow, a blanket, repellent, food, sugar. I could not fathom that was real. So when I kept asking, like, are they coming soon? Like, no, this has to be a joke. Like, we're going to die out here. Like, I'm going to die on national TV. And then isn't it so funny? Everything that I wanted, like I wanted my hairbrush. I wanted food on the sly. I needed to wash my hands properly. I wanted soap on my body. All those things, my fingernails were filthy. My legs were hairy. You don't even care. As time goes on, you realize how minimalistic and shallow those things are because you don't need them. You just want them. So for me, I mean, admittedly, I got out, got my hair done and got my nails put on in 2 seconds, raced into the old needling and injectors because I'm very vain and I like to not look like a bloke. So I did have a few things fixed. But, yeah, that was the most shocking. Definitely that it's not a stitch up. It is legit. That's how it happens. Mm-hmm. No faking.
Retro Ronnie asks, what was your favourite moment that wasn't shown on TV?
Oh, my favourite moment. Not shown on TV, or it has to be. So I had some hilarious laughs by the campfire when everyone was, you know, heading off to bed at night. The laughs that I had, and I mean, I think things are pretty funny most of the time, and I've got a pretty loud laugh. But the shit that I learned from some of those players out there, what they used to get up to back in the day, stories like Alex in particular. Josh and Jordan, holy shit, like the laughing, like I think I definitely peed twice without anyone knowing, but that's what I would have loved you guys to see, some of Mark's stories, those idiot boys. What is it when you say the lines in movies? What's that called? Reciting. Yeah, reciting stupid movies over and over again and one would do one and then Geordie would do something. Just Batman the laughs movies? That we had. Oh, absolutely, every movie, and we would just be like, shut up, but funny as. I love the laughs that I had out there and the stories that I was told by people, you know, I wish you could have seen that because there was some, like Semi as well, we had some massive laughs out there and Croc and Me out there, you know, Dave, Juicy Dave is funny as hell. Maybe that. I would have loved that to be on more.
Mm-hmm. Last question, Radcliffe Weir asks, as someone who knew almost nothing coming into the game but clearly found her footing incredibly well, when did she start feeling like she had a handle on the game? Was there like a specific moment where you're like, I'm doing it, like, look, Mom, no hands, like any part of that where you realised that you could do it and were doing it in that moment?
It has to be for me, the challenges started getting easier. So I was probably losing weight, gaining confidence, feeling better about myself. I had trust from people and confidence from people in there that I knew cared about me. So as I started doing a little bit better and realizing how safe I felt, probably final 12 to 15-ish, that's when I went, all right, hang on a minute. If this is what you're doing without any skills and you're getting this far and you're this protected and you feel this safe, you need to probably start thinking about, you know, your end game, which isn't that, I didn't know that there was such a thing called the end game, but I remember saying in one of my IVs, you know, the end game's around the corner. And they're like, who told you that? And I'm like, tell me what? And they're like, that there's an end game. And I'm like, what's an end game? I'm talking about my game. Like, it's nearly over. So they were like, she is learning on the trot. You know, like, there are things that I was picking up on. And I just guessed when you start backing yourself, because for so long in there, I was the worst at this. And I felt like I was dumb at that. And I felt like I couldn't really talk too much about that, or I didn't give a good opinion on that. Like, it did feel like I was out of my league. But I reckon with about 12 to go, and as I looked at those 12 and realized how thick I was with all of them, I realized, hang on, you're actually playing one hell of a social game. These people genuinely like you. They're not just trusting you because they have to. They like you, you know, like, step up, make some moves, you know, not some big ones, but do the little ones that count, because you might be a chance. And then I think the funniest part for me was when I realized from the final five, when I made that five, I wasn't even thinking, you know, how good would it be if you actually got to pitch to the jury, you know, the two or three that might get to pitch. And then I remember doing my interview and it just escalated, because I was like, hang on, let me just think about this. She's going to want to take me. He's definitely going to take me. He's going to take me, regardless if it's because I've got no threat level to them or what have you. I'm still going. I'm still going to probably get the pitch. And then when I said, I'm final three, baby, I'd wondered if I'd jinxed myself and gotten a bit too cocky, and I pulled back and went, pull your head in, Chrissy. This could be really embarrassing.
Yeah,
calm your jets a bit.
You definitely picked it up. You learned the language while you were out there. And if you look through some of the comments and the questions, that it was a question thread, but most of it was just people sending you love, because you are so loved, definitely just a huge fan favorite that everyone was just grateful to watch, and brought so much levity and humor and hilarity and charisma to what sometimes felt like a little bit of a, you know, long season. You're saying that, you know, we didn't get to see a lot of the funny stuff, which is unfortunate, but we saw a lot of your funny stuff, and we probably missed, like, you know, 90% of your funny stuff, but just the 10% was like often the bright light in what felt
that was
a
enough.
Bit. Yeah, no, I mean, we wanted more, but even that 10%, we were like, yes, give us everything. Because, you know, we loved every moment that you were on screen. So, Chrissy, thank you so much for giving so much time to the podcast, to the deep dive after a big few weeks for sure. And we really appreciate you giving like a whole afternoon to this. Where can the fans find you, where, you know, they can follow you on social media so that they can still have some more Chrissy in their lives?
Oh, I've still got my Survivor Insta, so I'll run that for a bit, because depending on what happens next, I still want to be able to interact with all those people. And you know what? I said it in one of my posts. I got massive hate from Facebook. A lot of people have told me don't go near Reddit, and, you know, Twitter's good, but it's also bad for the people that they don't like. So I chilled out on Insta for a bit, and my Insta platform, I froth them. The Survivor fans are a little bit hairy sometimes, but my people that actually like me, I'm more than happy to run that page for a bit longer. So that's just my Instagram handle, which is Chrissy Zaremba. And I do put stuff on there, you know, that's not all Survivor stuff. So as long as they don't get bored with looking at my weird ass life, that's maybe where they should head.
Well, everyone should go and head to Chrissy's Instagram and just check out more of what Chrissy is doing. But we have a lot going on here as well. We've got the deep dives. Sam deep dive is out. Mark deep dive. This deep dive. Hours and hours of content in this postseason, and still planning to speak to KJ, Khan and Nina at some point within the next couple of weeks. Not exactly sure when, but we will be doing that. And then, you know, we also have the finale recap if you haven't checked that out, and the exits from last week. So just getting a lot of perspectives on the season, and then also covering Survivor 42 on Survivor Global as well. Subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed, where I have all of that, and follow me at Shannon Gates, where I'm putting out all of that content. But Chrissy, thank you so much again. I truly appreciate it. I love getting to talk to you for almost 3.5 hours. It's just such a joy.
So good,
and I'm so glad we got the perspective, because so much of it was lost in the edit, as we're saying. You know, we always got the one-liners and the funny stuff, but then they kind of leave you out strategically. So I'm so glad that we got to see what you were thinking in your relationships and your absolutely bizarre Survivor family tree. I'm just really, really grateful we got to hear all about it.
The old Survivor family tree. Go on ancestry.com. See the Survivor 2022 season. My God, what a shit show. Look, it has been a pleasure. I'm stoked that my kids are chilled and they are doing their own thing today so we could have a chat. I am really thankful for you, Shan, because you've been nothing but a bloody light in some dark days. And, just frothing it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chrissy. Like, I truly love you. Even our, like, chats, our DMs.
I love
like,
you.
From the beginning, you're always just so, like, everything that people see, and that's why it's, like, when you say it's 30% work, like, I believe you because I know it must be work, especially when you're tired and hungry, but, like, you just seem to be just so consistently funny, great, kind, nice, like, literally all the positive, sunny words that I have. And I just...
The light words, that's good.
Yeah, that's what you
My
are.
My kids
like,
don't
you
agree.
Are, like, oh, well... You know, they'll grow up and they'll realize.
Yeah, maybe. They think I'm a Grinch most of the time. But, yeah, no, look, we can't take it too seriously. You only get one shot at this, so you got to do what feels right at the time and have a laugh, I reckon. It's all good.
Your kids have to know that they have the unofficial but kind of official fan favorite Survivor player of the season as their mum. Like, it's like I tweeted that. I was like, when your kids came out, I'm like, these kids have Chrissy as a mum. Like, I love my mum. I'm not saying I want a different mum, but like, it sounds like a good deal. It sounds like great to have Chrissy as your mum. Like, I mean, many people did on this very season, so they're very lucky too.
Yeah, they did. I know. I'm the family tree. I feel like when my amazing framed certificate comes through to go on the fridge, they might appreciate me.
All right. Well, someone make the certificate, then someone print it and frame it and send it to Chrissy. We're gonna need like everyone to really pitch in on this.
I can't even deal.
You deserve
I'm asking
it.
For a certificate.
No, I'm asking the listeners.
So shame.
And they get if I don't get a certificate out of this for you, I'm gonna be pretty upset with the listeners. I'm not gonna lie. So get it together.
Oh,
get a certificate
God.
To Chrissy.
Get
Let's
together,
get it framed.
People.
Let's get it, you know, mounted. Can we get someone to come in and put it on her wall? Everyone pitch in to this endeavor.
To my house. Okay,
needs to happen.
So
needs to happen. But Chrissy, thank you so much. This was such
you're the
a
best
joy.
Friend.
You genuinely Yay. Are just, yeah, such a light. Love talking to you. Love having you on my screen and now in everyone's ears. We're all very, very lucky for it. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you to everyone for listening and for the certificate in advance. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And I will see you next time. Bye.
Survivor.
Adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.